listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. We're broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio, being simulcast on ShakeAndWakeRadio.com, and also being heard on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Welcome to the show, and as always, guys, I'd like to start the show off with a little bit of a plug for the stations. If you could afford a cup of coffee a month to the station to help them out, 50 people did that every month. It would really, really help them alleviate some of the cost that they incur running these shows for us. So if you like the content, please, even a cup of coffee a month would be appreciated. And I always like to start my shows off with thanking my producer, because I always manage to forget it at the end. Thanks, Steve, for what you do for me. I'd be lost without you. I'm joined by Roger Landry. It's the first hour, and anybody that's listened to my shows over the years know I say that in a very, very kind way. I refer to Roger as the Duracell bunny, because I get him going and it's really hard to get him stopped, but that's why I love having him in. Thanks for coming in, Roger, and welcome back as always, my friend.
It's great to be here, but I keep giving you the solution to your problem. If you never ask me a question, you don't have to get me to stop. Hey, come on. It don't get no easier than that.
Well, I know today you've got a few things you'd like to talk about. Not that there's much going on in the United States of America that we need to be concerned about, but I guess there is a few things you'd like to chat about today. And where do you want to start with this? I mean, I know there's probably about 10 things you'd like to talk about. What's number one on your list?
Well, the thing of it is, what most people don't understand, except people that listen to your show and have heard me talk on more than one occasion, whereby I say things like, step back and take a look. Because just about everything that is, dramatic and drastic going on around you is connected today. It's not a joke. It's an absolute fact. And the thing that most Americans don't want to believe, and even most Canadians don't want to believe, is that the news that they depend on to basically run their lives, to basically decide what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, can be as complicit and as treasonous as what we are seeing. Now, I'm going to start this off, and there's going to be some people listening to the show going to roll your eyes in the back of your head because you've heard about this. And that's because mainstream media may be failing, but alternative media is really coming into its own anymore, because – a lot of you may have heard about this, but we're going to take it a little deeper today. We're talking about 120 flag officers, retired admirals and generals, and for the 2020 presidential election, there were 317 of them that stepped up to sign an open letter to the American people stating that this was the most crucial election in America's history since 1776. This is what 317 retired flag officers, not lieutenants, not colonels, not majors, no, we're talking about generals and admirals. They stated it was the most critical election since 1776, and then it was stolen. That letter was followed up not too long ago by another letter from 124 of them with, from what I understand, more signing on. But at the time I got it, it had been signed by, and their names are at the bottom of the letter. Open letter to the American people, basically telling the American people that tyranny is here, that this is the most critical and crucial point in American history again since 1776. Now, a lot of you out there who haven't heard anything about this because you do watch mainstream media most of the time, you're going to be rolling your eyes into the back of your head and saying, this is absolutely ridiculous, okay? That's got to be some sort of tinfoil hat stuff, except that at the bottom of the article on the Liberty Beacon, there's a link right to the open letter. And the organization is called Flag Officers for America, and the word four isn't a four, it's a number four. Okay, I'm going to read you the opening paragraph, which is only a couple sentences. It's very short, but let's set the mood because there's a lot more coming in this hour, okay? Our nation is in deep peril. We are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other time since our founding in 1776. The conflict is between supporters of socialism and Marxism versus supporters of constitutional freedom and liberty. Hold on, everybody. I just told you that that is 124, at the time I published this, 124 retired flag officers. These are people that spent 30, 40, 50 years serving their country. Now, you and I both know that the military is not necessarily the most innocent thing on the planet, okay? And that just because you're an admiral or a general doesn't put you above anybody else. But when you have a preponderance of what most would consider without a second thought, the most patriotic individuals in the country, did you hear their opening statement? We are in the biggest time of tyranny since 1776. These aren't privates. These aren't sergeants. They're not. These are admirals and generals that are saying America is in the biggest crisis it has ever been in since its founding. This isn't a joke. So, Barry, when I told you I had something to talk about, did you think it was this?
No, hey Roger. I actually read the article that you're mentioning right now. I read that a couple of days ago, and it was shocking to say the least. But you know what do we do at this point besides scream at the top of our lungs that the country is in the biggest peril it's been in since your founding? And how do we get that through to the public? Well, the public, I think, are starting to become aware of that, Roger, in a lot of ways, especially with what I've seen happen with your economy and prices across the board since Joe Biden took over, or Billy Joe there took over the reins, the so-called reins of your country. I've watched prices just go absolutely insane in every sector of our economy. Is that just a coincidence? Huh? What do you think?
Okay. I personally think the coincidence is the tale of tyrants and the belief of fools. So unless anybody listening to this show is considering themselves a fool, we don't really believe in coincidence. But let me set a little bit of groundwork. I'm not going to read all of their talking points out of their letter because their letter is sitting right in front of me right now. What I'm going to do is give you a one-liner for each one of their topics. And then we can go into any one of those topics as we go along, okay? The first topic is open borders jeopardize national security. The second one is China is the greatest external threat to America. The third one is the free flow of information is critical to the security of a republic, and we ain't got it. The fourth one is re-engaging in the flawed Iran nuclear deal is catastrophic. The next one is stopping the Keystone Pipeline eliminates our recently established energy independence and causes us to become dependent on nations that are not friendly to us. Mm-hmm. The next one, using the U.S. military as a political pawn, such as surrounding Washington, D.C. with barbed wire and troops that didn't even want to be there. The next one is the rule of law is fundamental in our republic and fundamental for security. Where is it? The last one is listen to me, because they always save the best for last. This last talking point is right in the letter, and I'm going to read it word for word, and it comes straight from the admirals and generals. The mental and physical condition of the commander-in-chief cannot be ignored.
What? You mean something's wrong with Joe?
And down below this letter is 124 signatures. And let me explain to everybody out there who says, what if this is just a joke? Every single one of these flag officers has their name on there, and each and every one of them can be reached. Don't you think that somebody wouldn't have, oh, I don't know, when I say somebody, maybe 500 or 600 or 1,000 people haven't already tried? But it's still there. Gee, why does that website still have that published? Because it's real. And right before the 2020 election, as I said, they published another one stating the importance of that election, which ended up by being stolen. And it wasn't 124 that signed that one. It was 317 flag officers.
So what's going on right now with the audits that are going on in the states, Roger? Can you bring me up to date on that? I haven't been able to follow that for a couple of days.
The big one that everybody needs to know about right now is Maricopa County.
Right.
Okay. And I got to tell you right now, somebody's going to jail, because it is an absolute law that these databases and this information has to be secured and maintained for a limited amount of time set down by directive. In some areas, it may be 24 months. In some areas, it may be 12 months. But what you cannot do, okay, unless you're willing to poke the law in the eyeball, is to go in and delete all the information in those folders on those voting machines, to delete the databases, which is exactly what Maricopa County did.
Right. I know that.
Now, if you stop to consider this, it may actually it could do one of two things. One, it could force some people to face penalty, which I believe, since there's so much money behind all of this cheating, that that would be minimalistic, but it would be basically a show trial, saying, okay, see, we did something about this, and nothing will be done. Or there could be some backbone in the state legislature, and they could say, since it has been proven unequivocally that foul play occurred during this election, there is only one thing we can do, and that is to have a re-election or to run the vote again.
Do you think that's a real possibility, Roger?
No, I don't. Not in America anymore. If you would ask me that 15 years ago, I'd have said yes as fast as I said no today. I just started this off by telling you there's enough money in there right now, and these people are terrified. All right, everybody out there listening to what Roger just said, does that make any sense to you at all? These people knew for a fact if they deleted those databases, there was going to be hell to pay. But they deleted the databases. Why? Because the repercussions of having those databases getting out far exceeded the possible legal penalties. They've already been told, go ahead, delete them. We'll cover you. Go ahead, delete them. We'll make sure that, you know, it's just a slight boo-boo, you know? This is what we're looking at. So do I believe now who stepped up to really, really beat the bandwagon about this? Oh, gee, that wouldn't be Trump, would it? And I would, too, if I was him. If there is nothing to hide, why do you delete the one thing that can prove your innocence? Not only that, but they refuse to turn over the routers. And the routers show signals going in, signals going out. All right, Mike Lindell's already got a complete copy of all of the election trafficking back and forth via just about every voting machine. But having it from the actual machines themselves Getting forensic evidence from those machines makes it absolutely, you can't say nothing. Look at this. Here it is. So against subpoenas by their own legislature, their own Senate, they have refused to turn over the routers. Why? Does this make sense to anybody listening to this show? They are constantly screaming, this is all a bunch of crap. There's nothing to it, except anything that can prove their innocence can also just as easily prove their guilt. So they are not making it available, or they are destroying it under penalty of law.
Hmm. Unbelievable. Two sets of laws. And does the rule of law apply in the United States of America anymore? That's a very, very loaded question, isn't it?
Well, again, we can't say in America, because what most people do tend to understand is that America is 50 sovereign states in a union. Okay, there is more power in the states, and states can and do live in a different world. Try living in Connecticut for a year or California for a year and then going to a place like Arkansas or Texas, unless you're in two or three of their biggest cities, which are blue hellholes. But anyway, what we're talking about here is just everything is shifted so bad right now beyond anything we can believe. And now we're looking at county officials committing fraud. County officials and voting officials literally stepping up to commit acts they know beyond a shadow of a doubt are illegal.
Right.
And again, only to protect themselves, but you're falling into the trap of the lesser of two evils. Would I rather the penalty of having deleted the databases, or would I rather the penalty of having rigged an entire election that, if we can prove Trump actually won Maricopa County by a landslide, would probably trigger recounts in several other states across the country, leading to Joe Biden. The decision would end up in the Supreme Court. The thing of it is, if it can be proven that those votes actually went to Trump and that Trump did have the preponderance of votes, if that can be proven, now the Supreme Court no longer has the ability to say you don't have standing. They said this before because the incongruities, the illegalities that were supposedly occurring during the election were happening within the purview of the state. The state sets up in America – the state sets up the voting rules. It's not a national issue, which is what they're trying to make it now, which is a whole different story. But the state has purview. So the Supreme Court, although they did have the ability to hear that case, just ducked out like a bunch of little chickens. I'm dead serious. Okay, because they could claim, kick it back to the state. The state actually has standing. We don't. All right. Let's say that there is at least – because Trump only lost by, you know, a couple – like 100,000 votes if you consider the key counties, all right? If it is proven unequivocally that there was malice or that there was fraud, never mind can it be proven that Trump actually won. And these votes have to be done over. The Supreme Court would have to step up and say something about that, but I'm going to go one step further. Let's say a couple of these areas do have to be voted on again. With everything that's gone on, the tyranny that's been beat over the Americans' head day after day and the Canadians' head since all of this crap started, the political tyranny that these flag officers are screaming to – they actually called him a dictator. Yes. Yeah. They actually call him a dictator. So if you consider all of this that's going on right now, Barry, how's your day going?
Well, I live in Canada, Roger. Have you been looking at what's going on up here lately? I mean, you think you got problems down there, brother? I'll tell you. We
so
have
where would you rather live right now?
Iceland. Iceland, Iceland kind of looked like a nice place to go live because apparently they kind of cleaned it up over there quite a bit. I don't know if the corruption's got back in there, but I was reading quite a bit about their country a little while ago and it seemed like to be a logical place to go hide. But it doesn't really matter where you go, Roger. When they bring the hammer down, it's going to encompass the whole world. So it don't matter where you are, unless you're in some cave somewhere. Go ahead.
You hit the nail right on the head, but I don't know if your implications were along the same lines I'm about to crack open here. Let's get away from the politics a little bit and let's talk about the COVID. Let's talk about COVID fear, okay? Because fear is exactly the mechanism that is most often used when someone is trying to get you to go along with something you normally wouldn't. Fear is the lever that is the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we are seeing. So let's talk about a vaccine, okay? Let's talk about a vaccine that some people are saying has the ability to transmit, okay? I think you and I have actually talked about this before. Mm-hmm. If this thing has the ability to transmit, then you don't need to go and vaccinate an entire nation, do you? You just need to vaccinate a break-even point. Okay, if I know that there's 350 million people in America, and if I can do strategically, okay, about 1 million to 5 million people within that country in strategic areas, I can just about guarantee that over the next month or 2 months, with their ability to transmit and the ability of anybody who gets it via transmission to transmit, that within a limited period of time, we're going to cover that entire state or that entire region. And you basically set this up across an entire nation. And we have scientists screaming bloody murder right now. Listen to me, because this ought to freak some of you out, okay? That we need to isolate the vaccinated.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you would hear that?
I know, Roger. Insanity. We are living in la-la land, man. Whatever happened to the world.
For anybody who says you can't have a vaccine that does that, let me explain something to you. Pfizer started developing this thing almost 12 years ago. They told the public about it 10 years ago. So anybody who thinks there's no such thing as a self-transmitting vaccine, do some reading.
What I heard, and the numbers I'm looking at right now, Roger, apparently 151 million Americans have been vaccinated. That's the numbers I'm seeing in the States right now. If that's the case, and this thing has the ability to transmit between human to human, without you actually getting the vaccine, you'll show the same effects as somebody that's been vaccinated. That, to me, my friend, is terrifying. And what it means is it means that doesn't matter, Roger, at this point, if 151 million Americans have been vaccinated and it is a vaccine that can be transmitted from person to person by contact, that is unbelievable implications.
Whoa, it gets worse. Okay? It gets worse.
Oh, then Steve also wanted to ask your question when you finished.
Let me finish this.
Okay? Yeah, I'll let you finish.
Let me get through this, okay? The CDC just stepped up to say, hey, yeah, those masks and stuff, yeah, we don't need that anymore. We're pretty much free of that. The CDC has backed way the hell off. Now, for anybody out there, you're all being told that it's worse. It's getting worse. It's worse than it can ever be in the whole nine yards. And the drum's being beat and the drum's being beat. Yep. Except now the CDC is saying, okay, so basically, you know, the mask and stuff like that, yeah, we're pretty much home free on this. And guess what? What did we just tell you? We just got done telling you that you have the ability, if you've been vaccinated, to transmit. The easiest way to do that is not necessarily contact, but airborne. Okay? Right. So now all of a sudden, you ain't got to wear a mask anymore.
How convenient.
How freaking convenient. Okay, Steve, sorry about holding you up there, my friend. I just had to get through that.
No, you're okay, Roger. Actually, one question and probably a statement. Would I be incorrect in presuming that intimidation is a terror tactic?
Intimidation is the mainstay for getting anybody to take this vaccine because it is only authorized for emergency use under emergency status.
Right.
So they cannot force you to. Intimidation is what's getting all of these people to take this.
Yes, yes. Well, the vaccination is supposed to be artificial intelligence. The reason that they had us 6 feet away from each other or 3 meters, whatever the case is, 2 meters, whatever the case is because people can be directly affected by someone's presence, internal presence. And now that 6 feet is going away and the mask is going away and these restrictions, this AI vaccination is going to directly affect us.
I'm not so convinced that this is artificial intelligence. Do I actually believe that it is robotic on a nanoscale? Absolutely. Okay. Most people would call that since it has, you know, a pretty much a routine, a computer, basically a computer routine. This is not, in my eyes, artificial intelligence. What it is it's nanotechnology. It's not nanobio. This is nanotechnology. And I think when you compare it to anything you would claim would have intelligence, it comes off as being extremely stupid. It has a very limited ability to do a very limited number of things. But is it nanotech? I'm going to agree with 95% of what you said. As far as it being intelligent, no, it's programmed to react to specific things. The fact that that technology can be that small and still be effective should amaze anybody. But I don't think it's intelligent. No.
Boy, and the ways they could be administrating nanotechnology and nanobites and everything else in our world right now, Roger.
Yeah.
They could be spraying this stuff in the sky and we could be breathing it into it because we can't see it.
Now, hold on. I'm going to go back for 1 second just to let Steve know that what he mentioned is not impossible and not very far off. It really isn't. So, again, that was a great input, Steve, because people need to be aware of the fact if I can put nanotechnology within your body, even at this basic primitive state, how long is it going to take me to make it so that that little bot there can do exactly what I tell it to do or exactly what it seems to want to do depending on the stimulus it gets?
What it's programmed to do.
That will also be programmed. But again, artificial intelligence, most people need to understand, all of it starts with programming. You have to program the basics and then allow it to learn on an ever-increasing scale. That's how you get intelligence. At some point, you reach a point where it knows so much that it can predict accurately. These are things that non-artificial intelligence can't do. They just react to something, yes or no, because a computer program is all zeros and ones, yes or no. So do I believe what you said in the very near term? Yeah, I do, because what we have right now sets the precipice for all of that.
Interesting. What we are seeing in Canada here, Roger, is less numbers of people willing now to take the vaccine than what we're seeing in the United States. Only 3% of Canadians have been fully vaccinated so far. And we're seeing more and more pushback in large scales now in Canada as more and more information comes out. Some of the stuff that I've looked at here in the last couple of weeks is kind of encouraging. Well, in Toronto yesterday, Roger, we had, this might sound kind of silly for a city that's got 4.5 million people in it, but 25,000 to 30,000 Torontonians took to the street yesterday. That's the biggest demonstration we've seen in Toronto since this whole scamdemic started. So what it's telling us, Roger, is that, you know what, the energy, I was talking to people, buddy, that were there yesterday, and they said the energy in this crowd was so incredible, it was almost contagious. People were having the best time in their life. But you know what it's going to do, Roger? Every one of those persons is going to go home this week, and they're going to sit down at the table, and they're going to tell their friends about what they experienced in downtown Toronto on Saturday. You're going to see these audiences and these numbers go up exponentially. I believe
everything you said is true. Okay. But remember me telling you how well this is choreographed. Remember me explaining that to you. If you take a look on the Liberty Beacon, you will find an article. I believe it was published yesterday elsewhere. We aggregated it to the Liberty Beacon, stating that Trudeau is about to open the American-Canadian border after all of this time and allow people to start going across. Let me ask you a question. How many Americans had already been vaccinated? How many of them had the ability to transmit? How many of them are going to take this crap into Canada? Look at me. Everything I'm trying to tell you, if there is substance to it, and I can't prove any of this, but if there is substance to this, if these doctors screaming this are absolutely right, then Canada only has, what, 60, 70 million people? We've got more than that in California.
Yeah, Canada's total population is 37 million now.
And if you stop to consider, it may only take how many? 3% of your population's already been vaccinated, and a bunch of Americans trying to get away from the craziness in America, taking their little package up to share it with you guys.
Well, no, we're going to build a wall, man.
Oh, Trudeau just said, they just said no masks, no social distancing. They just said we're opening the border to Canada. They just said this thing's transmissible. Does anybody out there put the damn dots together? God.
I thought we were supposed to be intelligent species, Roger.
All right, so I won't holler anymore. Sorry about that.
No, hey, listen, I know you like getting on this show because it gives you a chance to get some of that out. You tell me you can't get out in other normal situations, but then this is a normal radio show, and that's why I think I get you in here once in a while. I kind of like it. But anyways, it's absolute insanity, especially with the information now coming about the adverse effects. I mean, even in my little community here, people are starting to talk about it because out in the reservations, especially, Roger, they've had all kinds of negative effects to the vaccines. And now the elders are kind of going, hey, hang on for a second. Something here isn't quite right. I know of 7 or 8 situations in 2 of the reserves here, just out of Terrace here, that they've had the elders especially are experiencing very severe adverse effects to this, and they talk a lot amongst themselves. So we're seeing people becoming educated here very quickly, Roger. They're not buying into the narrative like they were in the beginning about these vaccines, and so that's a positive thing for us. But we really do have a lot of people here that are I don't know how to explain them to people. I really don't, Roger. People riding around on a bicycle with a mask on, or people outside cutting their front lawn with a mask on. I just don't even know where to start with people like that. I don't know where to start, Roger. Where do you start?
how about people going to the beach and into the water with a mask on?
Yeah, same idiocy.
It's like are you freaking kidding me? Or somebody riding down the street or the highway at 65, 70 miles an hour on a motorcycle with a mask on. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll tell you what. The next one that goes by and you watch how quick I can jump out there, I'm going to slap a big old sign on his backside that says, idiot, so everybody can see it as he goes by. So
why have we got so many of these people in our society? That's what really kind of shocks me about this.
No, it doesn't.
Well, we know Roger, we've talked about why people are in the mental state that they are. We've talked about that many, many times on shows over the years, what has affected our mental cognitive abilities as human beings, how we've been attacked in multiple different ways that affects our mental abilities, how fear, which you talked about at the beginning of the show, is the biggest weapon they use against us because that throws the human brain into a state of chaos, and it'll take just any answer to get rid of that scream, Roger. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Listen to me because I want to plug in another paragraph out of this, because before I read that, I want to explain something to everybody listening. Okay. We people like Barry and I, the mainstream media won't even talk about us. They won't say anything we say, whether it's right or wrong, and they don't want anything focused on us whatsoever. Okay. This is the way alternative media is treated, but okay, they can get away with that on us. They can. How do you get away with what 124, again, that was at the time I got this. I don't know what it is now. 124 flag officers saying the first paragraph I read to you, and here's one right out of the middle. Aside from the election, the current administration has launched a full-blown assault on our constitutional rights in a dictatorial manner, bypassing the Congress of more than 50 executive orders quickly signed, many reversing the previous administration's effective policies and regulations. Mm-hmm. Moreover, population control actions such as excessive lockdowns, school and business closures, and most alarming, censorship of written and verbal expression are all direct assaults on our fundamental rights. We must support and hold accountable politicians who will act counter to counter socialism, Marxism, and progressivism, support our constitutional republic, and insist on fiscally responsible governing. Okay, so basically what we just heard was that what's going on in America right now was done illegally, and America shouldn't have to be putting up with this. Now, if I said that, it would be absolutely he's a head case. If Barry says this outside of his listening audience, oh yeah, Barry, oh yeah, he's one of those nutcases. But if one admiral steps up to say this, then you can say this guy's a nutcase. If one general steps up to say this, you can say this guy's a nutcase. But if in one case 317 and in this case another 124 of them step up to say this is the most critical time in the entire history of America, and those who are running this country at this point in time are treasonous to the American people. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This isn't coming from the Boy Scouts. It's not coming from the Girl Scouts. And it sure ain't coming from Scooby-Doo. It's coming from admirals and generals. Let that sink in, please. Please.
I was going to say something and I completely lost. Well, you get talking, Roger, and I'm thinking about something. This happens to me all the time.
I said Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that's what was a trigger word, man. I go, what am I supposed to say? The friendly giant?
Look.
How did we get here, Roger? Well, you know what? We didn't get here overnight, buddy. This has taken years and years and years to get people in society to the state they are right now, where they can literally not think for themselves. That their brains seem to be jello. That men don't seem to have testicles anymore in our society. They can't see the trees for the forest. It's unbelievable how some people just brush this off. It's just the new norm that everything's fine, that nothing's bad, that everything will come back to what it was. I have people telling me, oh, well, pretty soon it'll all be back to normal and this will all go away. And what do I say to that? I don't even know where to start, Roger.
It's never
going to come back to normal, Roger. You know that, and I know that. Unless we stand up in one unified voice and tell them to shove it where the sun don't shine. Excuse my language.
The way this runs, and everybody thinks that all is just about doomed, and it looks like society is about to crumble all around us, and this is the pattern. What they do is they step in and they say, look, we've got a brand new plan. Everybody's going to be treated equally. We're going to take care of this for you. We're going to take care of this for you. And you're going to be able to return to a life of somewhat normalcy. And this is all you have to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something, okay? That's going to take anywhere from 10 to 25% of what you consider your rights and freedoms today away from you. But they're going to convince you that that has to be done in order to make this equitable across the entire spectrum and to make sure that everybody is treated equally. So they're going to cut back on your rights and freedoms to make sure that everybody is safe and protected. Yeah. Again, stop to consider what any government has ever told you. If you take a look at the true history, because there is always true history written, and you take a look at the history books that our children are taught from, they don't look the same. They don't put the same people in the same light. They don't draw the same conclusions that would aid those in power. They don't. Everything we know today, everything that's being forced down our throat via a mainstream media is either diversion or lie. How many mainstream media channels covered these generals and admirals putting this open letter out to the American public? Stop and think about that just for a second. Hold on. 1 second, okay? Generals and admirals, over 100 of them, get together and write an open letter to America. And if anybody speaks about it at all, it gets about 5 seconds, and then it's buried so deep, it's insane. This should have been the biggest thing to hit the news since the election.
It should have, and it never get a moment on mainstream, Roger. We know that because
of we're kicking it everywhere, Barry.
But we are. But mainstream itself will never pick it up, Roger. They're not going to be allowed to pick that up. But you know, I'll tell you something that's really good that's happening in Canada right now, Roger, is that
you know,
the College of Physicians and Surgeons has a major, major censorship on any doctor in Canada that speaks against the government narrative. But what we're seeing now in Canada, there's been two groups of doctors that are forming, and there is a lot of them, Roger. The gentlemen that are behind this are telling me, sir, that every day they're getting 5 to 10 doctors calling in saying, we are getting on the bandwagon with you, that we want to stand unified with a large group of doctors and come forward and put a stop to this insanity.
So strength in numbers.
Well, that's what it needs, Roger. We need what we need right now in this country and in your country is a unified voice of doctors speaking very loud, loud enough that the mainstream media cannot ignore it. And if we can get to that critical mass of doctors that are willing to speak, we will make them cover this information and Canadians will hear it. But right now we have censorship in this country, Roger, at levels I never thought I'd see. But then I knew that it was coming one day, that I knew that talked about was coming. It was.
Guess what else is coming?
Lots of things we talked about. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But what I see more and more, what I published about several times in the last couple of days, is not only a couple of Scandinavian countries are telling their elected officials, you need to back off of this or you will be prosecuted. There's actually, and again, it's published on the Liberty Beacon, there is actually a world-renowned doctor that has 1,000 doctors supporting him that is preparing legal cases against the WHO and a couple of governments, Nuremberg-style trials. This has already started, and you're going to see once this starts to catch on, and I know right now of 3 countries that are going to be involved, with probably a whole hell of a lot more of them just waiting to see how far they're going to take this. Because if they do, what we are going to see, we're going to see these people who have been ruling over us for the last year and a half and literally crushing any of our futures. We're going to see them either jumping off high-rise buildings or, wait a minute, that's what they're doing. Hold on a minute. Here's another thing that's happening that most people don't understand, but all of a sudden this crap's starting to hit the fan. Okay, take a look online. This ought to make you chuckle, Barry, and find out – Chuckleberry. Oh, that sounds like a nice berry. Anyway, find out, okay, how many billionaires – have recently bought isolated islands. I'm not joking. This is an absolute fact. They're buying them up all over the place. Why the hell am I worried, and I've never done it before, and I'm in my 50s or my 60s, some of them are in their 70s, all of a sudden they're buying islands that are extremely well isolated.
And easy to protect with their private little
fort.
Yeah. Hey, you want to hear a good one, Roger? And this just came across the wire to me this morning, but because of the Rocco Galati, now you're probably not familiar with what's going on up in our Supreme Courts right now. Rocco Galati is the number one constitutional lawyer in Canada, has challenged the government and multiple other people all named in major indictments, but it's access information now. And this came across this morning. If it's true, and the person that sent it to me, and I've seen had three other links on it so far, that if it's true, it is going to blow Canada to pieces, because apparently Doug Ford, the Premier of Ontario, was given $48 million in a bribe. This is going to, though, Roger, you know, I wouldn't even say this right now if it wasn't coming from sources that I have a lot of respect for. So apparently this is going to come out in the next couple of days. I'm not saying, folks, I'm not saying it's true, but where I'm getting it from is kind of the same people that told me about the little black worms in the mass there. I talked to you about the one time and you kind of laughed at me.
Okay. I not only agree with you, but I'm going to ask you, so what? Because we know for a fact, and the FBI had the laptop, we know for a fact that the laptop proves unequivocally that Joe Bob was involved with China, okay? Yep. And that his son was involved with underaged boys and girls. The images were right on the laptop. Yes, we know for a fact that Biden did not qualify because of that to sit in the White House, but he's there. I agree with everything you said. Let's see if anything at all happens except a little bit of gone.
Well, I don't know, Roger. If that came forward and the Canadian public was to be made aware of it, I think you'd see a roar going across the country.
And you don't think if the prospective president of the United States had proven to be treasonous, that wouldn't have done the same thing?
I think you'd see 70 or 80 million Americans ready to go to the street and retake the presidency for the person that actually should be sitting in the office right now.
But guess who buried it? Mainstream media. Guess who's going to bury this if it comes out in Canada?
The mainstream, but you know what? A lot of the
Roger,
the alternatives in Canada, the audiences, this is why they're pushing Bill C-10 through so hard in our parliament right now. The government wants to take control of everything that's heard on the internet in Canada. If they get this bill through the parliament, we are basically going to, I won't be able to talk anymore, Roger, because they'll be able to shut me off. They'll be able to block me everywhere. That's where we're almost at in Canada right now. That's why the government is pushing this so hard right now to get this censorship in place, because people in Canada are starting to wake up. They can't have that, man. I'll tell you.
That's Joe the most Bob.
Thing they can do. Go ahead.
Joe Bob just signed an executive order canceling Trump's executive order that enhanced our ability to speak freely. He literally, Trump, set up an executive order with a couple of little sub-executive orders underneath it to ensure freedom of speech to the American people.
Right.
Yeah, yesterday Biden said, nah, we don't need that, and he canceled it. Wow. Gee, I wonder where they're going with that. Duh.
Well, we see the same thing everywhere, Roger. It doesn't matter what country you look at right now. It's all an attack on free speech. It's right out of the communist.
No, there isn't. Nobody. It's not everywhere. It isn't.
Well, not everywhere, but we see.
This started in China. China was one of the partners that originally started this pandemic all across, and China never had free speech. The minimal impact, regardless of what you're being told on this entire planet, is China.
Well, of course, there's a major player.
Yep.
I mean, where's everything being made? In China. Where are prescription drugs being made now? In China.
Event 201, the Chinese actually had a part in Event 201, which planned this.
Right. Well, people got to realize they're not our friends, Roger. And, you know, we're letting
our enemies. They're not our friends. They got to be. Come on. Don't tell me that. Jeez. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
And yet they're making what? Everything that we use and use in society now is pretty well being made in China. I mean, they brought us pigs and dog food. They brought us all kinds of great
if
stuff.
If you stop to consider that one of the first things that Trump did when he got elected was bring us energy independence and made the trade deals good enough, equal enough, that jobs could move back into America and we could start manufacturing here in America. The last 3 years of his 4-year term were some of the best we have seen economically and in everything across the board. What's the first thing Joe Bob did? He shut down the pipeline, which literally crippled a lot of those new businesses. What else did he do? He shut down the process that was deregulating all the things that were strangulating and choking medium to small businesses off. He shut that down. Can I go on? If there is ever in this country a wrecking ball bigger than Joe Bob to the economy, I want somebody to show it to me.
What can you do about it right now, Roger? That's the universal question. Can we get this election overturned? I would like to think that's a possibility, but what you're saying earlier in the show doesn't look like it's going to happen. So what's going to happen in the United States in the next couple of years? He'll destroy the country. What's it going to take?
Best thing that I feel can happen with some assurity, because I'm not telling you it can't happen that the election gets overturned. That's still a possibility, albeit a very small one. But let's go to something that's a little bit more real. Until this actually happens, this next step I'm going to, there are things like nullification. The state I live in, Arkansas, has basically said, you know what? No, none of your federal gun laws will apply in this state, and they have the right to do that. They do. So you're looking at nullification, but what you're also looking at is Trump has started his own social media platform. Now, it's not really a walk and talk social media platform. It's basically a political platform where he can put his message out to a lot of people that social media and the mainstream media aren't letting him do. So, yeah, I think that's great. So Trump is literally going to start doing all of these huge rallies again. But now he's going to start doing them for congressmen and senators that need to be reelected. They're pretty much picking who they're going to support and who they're not. So everybody's getting on board with Trump. They are literally going to tell everybody in every single area where somebody's getting reelected exactly what's going on in this country. Now, you only need a couple of congressmen to change the House from blue to red. You only need a couple of senators, like two, to change the Senate from blue to red. At this point, right there, okay, you can literally handicap a president. How do we know this? Well, Trump was handicapped, I would say, probably for 75% of the time he was in there, yet still managed to accomplish more than most that have spent 8 years in there. Yeah. You can literally, once you run Congress, which is the House and the Senate, once you run Congress, you are a check and balance to anything that comes out of the White House. That's so, the most assured thing we can do the quickest.
Well, I hope you do it real quick, Roger, because I can't.
2002, that's the year. That's the election. That's a little over a year away at the most.
Yeah, how much damage are you going to inflict in your country between now and then? Look at what's going on at your border right now. It's just a fiasco.
I've got another question for you. Don't you think they know that? I'm going to tell you, the closer we get to that election, the more you're going to see them acting like good little doobies.
Yeah, like you'll he's going to finish the wall now all of a sudden.
Yeah, and you're you're going to see the closer we get to that election that's absolutely going to remove them from power. The closer we get, the more they are going to be trying to step up to get us, we the people, to forget the crap they've been slamming down our throat for the last 2 years, and it's not going to work.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on how does that go?
You just had it backwards, but you're right.
Okay. Well, you know what I was trying to say. Hey, sorry about that, Roger. But, you know, I'm not a professional. You know that. I should have had that one, but I didn't. So I'll
fool
go back
me
to my
once.
Room. I'll go back
shame
to my
on
room.
You. Fool me twice. Shame on me.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't think that Americans are going to get fooled again. But I don't know if you'll have be able to. I mean, they have control of these Dominion voting machines, Roger. And until we get rid of that, I mean, why can't we just go back to the old pen and paper, mark your ballot, and have two people count it, verify it, and all this fiasco would disappear?
Why can't we just not vote for them?
The conservatives, I can tell you right now, are absolutely not going to put up with this in the midterms. There will be a line of conservative poll watchers waiting right outside the door. And if they're not let in, because they're supposed to, it's supposed to be equal. Okay.
Right.
And if they're not let in, they will have the news down there and it will be live on the news and watch. There will be police officers down there. It's not going to happen this way again. And I will guarantee you every single polling station in America that is up and running during the 2022 election will be under scrutiny.
Roger, you wouldn't believe it, but the hour's already gone, man. Can you believe that?
Of course I can. Once I start talking, the time just goes whoop!
Listen, I'm going to have to let you go here in a minute, brother, but tell people real quick where they can find you and what you're up to, and we'll have you back here real soon.
Well, I'm not quite up to 5'8", but the website is thelibertybeacon.com, thelibertybeacon.com. And when you go there, up at the top, you'll see a banner with a bunch of other sites on it. Those are our other news sites over in Europe and other places. So bop around, see what we've got to offer. The one thing you can always be sure of is that we're not going to lie to you. I have a wall with 10,000 people on Facebook, close to 10,000 people. If you take a look at it, there is not one dissenting viewpoint or nobody calling me a liar. Why? It's all TLB news. Everything on there comes from one of our websites, every single thing. And if there's no dissenters and I'm considered a tinfoil hat wearer, allow that to give you just a small inkling of our credibility. And thanks for the platform again, Barry.
Always a pleasure having you in, Roger, and I will always vouch for your credibility because I've been doing shows with you for many, many years, and I have yet to be able to call
you on.
Yeah, many years. It's getting close to 10. But anyways, well, I've never called you BS on anything yet, sir, so we will have you back. Hopefully you'll join me again very, very soon. We kind of do this on a semi-weekly basis now, so hopefully we'll have you back again in a couple weeks, and we can carry on this conversation, Roger.
There might be a really, really big announcement then.
Okay, well, thanks for joining me again today, buddy.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye for now.
of stars. Speak of a drowning. This is something other. Busy monster eats dark holes in the spirit world, where wild things have to go to disappear.
Thanks again to Roger Landry for joining me the first hour. Always a pleasure. I've been looking forward to my conversation here the second hour for the whole week here. I've got Chris Sky that's obliged in coming in and talking with me for an hour. Chris has become in the alternative world now in Canada, a real spokesman for our rights. And Chris, it's been real pleasure watching you develop into quite a spokesman for Canadians, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. How are you today?
Oh, hey, well, another day in madness, Chris. But first thing I wanted to ask is, how did things go in Montreal yesterday for you?
They were good. To be honest, there was the pro-Palestinian protest and the pro-Israeli protest virtually in every province as well. And in Montreal, I think the biggest protest of the day was the Palestinian protest. They had a car convoy with hundreds and hundreds of cars, and each car was just filled with people. So they pretty much, they had the biggest support in Montreal that day. Our protest was significantly smaller than it was about 2 weeks ago. A lot of the people went down to Toronto, actually. Toronto had the biggest protest it ever had. Yeah. People are saying between 10 and 20,000. Obviously, I can't go to the protest in Ontario because I'm on conditions, which I'm still working on to get off. So I decided to go to Montreal to show support, even though I knew it was going to be a smaller day. And we had three different groups. All started different areas and converged, and we ended up with a few thousand people. It was a nice day, and everyone was in good spirits, and everybody still has the energy from when we had the 300,000 people on the streets just a few weeks ago. And there's going to be another huge one in Montreal, I believe, June 15th. So I'm looking forward to being back here for that. In the meantime, we decided the Freedom Convoy was so successful at waking people up and drawing attention to the cause that we're going to do another cross-country Canada tour starting May 23rd in Vancouver. And this time we're going to be flying private, so they can't give us any hassles. And we have it all set up. and we're still locking down the confirmation for the dates. But the dates that I can confirm right now are May 23rd in Vancouver, Wednesday. I'm sorry, I got to pull my calendar up 1 second because I don't want to get the dates wrong here.
Go ahead. This is the first I've heard of this, Chris. So go ahead, plug it.
Yeah, we're gonna be posting about it on the real www.realchrissky.com real soon because I was just making all the arrangements and I didn't want to talk about it until I knew everything was a go. So yeah, we're gonna be May 23rd, which is Sunday in Vancouver. The other dates that we have confirmed so far are Wednesday, May 26th in Edmonton, Friday, May 28th in Winnipeg, and Saturday, May 29th in Calgary, which is supposed to be a massive, massive, massive rally. All of these are supposed to be probably the biggest rallies they've had in the cities, and we're going to be adding other destinations there as well. We're just talking with the organizers. This is coinciding with the launch of my new book. I wrote a book. It's called Just Say No, and it's a tool. It's an educational awareness tool, and it's like a metaphoric defibrillator for the brain. If somebody is completely asleep and they read this book, they will no longer be asleep. It's that simple. It'll shock them up. If there's somebody that's on the fence and they read this book, they'll no longer be on the fence. And if there's someone like you or me who's already knows what side of this conflict they're on, it'll just inspire them, give them courage, give them hope, and give them the knowledge that they need. So I think it's groundbreaking. I don't think there's ever been anything written like it, and I'm really excited. It's going to be launching on May 25th. We're doing a pre-order for it on realchrissky.com. The first 250 pre-orders are going to be autographed copies, and we're going to be launching that really soon as well. So we got a lot going on. There's also May 24th weekend. The businesses all over Canada have decided that they've had enough, and they're going to open. We're calling it Patriots Day weekend. Because it actually is called Patriots Day in Quebec. It's a holiday. It's also Victoria Day weekend, Queen's birthday. It's the long weekend, so we have the holiday. And it's basically the transition between spring and summer. And nobody wants to be locked down in summer, and our businesses can't afford to be locked down any longer. So they declared that that's the day that they're going to stand up, they're going to open. So this is all happening right now, all within the next, like, week. And it's a critical time because this is the time where we have to push back. If we don't push back, what are they already telling us? Did you see what Joe Biden said? Either get the vaccine or you wear a mask for it. Oh, nobody saw that one coming. Then over here in Canada, our entire opening plan is predicated on 75% of the population being vaccinated. That's absolutely ludicrous. And then they're already releasing guidelines of what you're going to be allowed to do when you're vaccinated versus not allowed to do. They're totally setting the stage for a two-tier society where if you don't give in to the medical tyranny, you're not going to be able to live your life. And if people don't see it at this point, I'm sorry, you're absolute idiots. You're pathetic idiots because they're literally giving you the instruction manual for your tyranny, and they're pointing it out to you with little color-coded facts, and you're still in denial that it's happening. And here's a very good point. Did you see what the American Red Cross said just a few days ago?
I saw that. Outrageous. Outrageous. Go ahead, Chris. Tell them.
Are you talking about how they said they will not accept blood donations from anyone who's received the experimental injection?
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Outrageous because if that doesn't wake society up, Chris, I don't know what will. Now you're
I got something even more egregious than that. Well, first of all, before we even move on from that, think about the implications of this. They want 75% of the population, and that's 75% of the population, not including the children. So that's most of the adult population, more than 75%, to get this inoculation. That means what happens to their blood supply? They're already telling you every day how the U.S. is critically low on blood. Now we're going to have more than 75% of the population who is ineligible to give blood. What's going to happen to the U.S. blood supply? It's going to collapse. There's going to be nothing, absolutely nothing. You're losing over 3/4 of your potential donors. But what's even worse than that? The Canadian Blood Services in Canada made a similar declaration, except they said it's perfectly okay to receive blood from the experimentally injected people. So that's just another perfect example of how the Canadian government does not have our interests or our health and safety in mind. When other countries were banning the AstraZeneca vaccine, including the United States, Canada said, oh, don't dump your AstraZeneca vaccines. We'll buy them from you. So Canada bought them from them. And even our own health watchdog said, do not use the AstraZeneca vaccine. And Trudeau and his cronies said, oh, no, it's great. And people like we were saying, do not take it, people. Do not take it under any circumstances. It's not safe. And what do? They ban me off Instagram for spreading harmful misinformation because the vaccine is obviously so safe. And then what do? A week later, they ban it. They ban it, but pretend like it's not bad. That was our government basically should have just said, hey, guys, sorry, Chris Sky was right. We were wrong. If you died from the vaccine, sorry, our bad. That's basically what they said. And that's basically, it might as well have said it because there's nothing you can do anyway. Even if you died the same day of the inoculation, first of all, they'll just call you a COVID death. Second of all, you can't sue. There's no recourse, no nothing. So why would you take this experimental injection? You've got to be out of your friggin' mind.
Well, yeah, when consider that, you know, the amount of people that this so-called killer pandemic is actually affecting, Chris, it's ludicrous. I mean, what we're supposed to be intelligent people as informed adults. We're supposed to be intelligent. We're supposed to be able to look at both sides of any controversial situation and come up with our own consensus of what's going on. But we don't see that in Canada. We see people just blindly following the government's health orders. That's got to change, buddy. Down in the States, well, the one problem we got in the States now, and Tucker Carlson was talking about this last night, buddy, that there's 151 million Americans now that have taken this vaccine. And, boy, the reports that are coming out about the ability of this vaccine to be transmitted from person to person without you actually having the vaccine, you'll experience the same side effects, is absolutely terrifying. Are you following?
Beyond terrifying. Oh, my God. I could speak on this personally because I'm on Facebook. I'm very active on Facebook. And there were groups popping up, COVID vaccine adverse reaction groups, women specifically. Yeah. And these were women that did not get the vaccine, but their partners or people around them did. Right. And if you look at the Pfizer insert, it says right in the document that the vaccine antibodies can be shed via skin-to-skin contact, so even sexually, and even inhaled. So they tell you right in the bottle that you could get it. So what kind of things are we seeing from women? We were seeing women who were past menopause getting their period. Yeah. And they didn't even take the vaccine, and that usually means you have cancer. We were seeing girls that were passing what looked like blood clots in their period, girls that were having their period 7 to 10 days early, girls that are having the most ridiculously excruciating periods of their life. And these girls didn't even take the vaccine. And what was Facebook doing? Removing these groups as fast as physically possible. One of these groups had over 100,000 members all reporting adverse reactions. If you go on the VAERS website right now, VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, it's the vaccine injury reporting site, and they make it absolutely ridiculously complicated to try and navigate. But if you spend 15, 20 minutes there and figure out how to use it, you'll be able to see that there's been about 500,000 reported adverse reactions to these vaccines. And if you know how VAERS works, only 1 to 10% of all of those are actually reported. So you're looking at more like 5 million adverse reactions. And the amount of deaths are in the thousands. And then you had nurses who are among the first to get inoculated. Three different nurses came forward as they started having full body convulsions and they could not control it. And they went on Del Bigtree's show and a couple others, and they went on together to show the impact it would have, that they're not like, it's not an isolated incident. This is something that's quite common. And every one of them was declared that it was all in their head. And it had nothing to do with the vaccine. And then I just saw a report where a man just got the COVID vaccine and died 5 days later. And they called it a COVID death and said it was unrelated to the vaccine. So this is what we're seeing now. Now we're going to see the majority of sick people are going to be people that have taken at least one dose of this vaccine. And people that get sick from the vaccine or people that die after being vaccinated, they're just going to call them COVID deaths and sweep them under the rug. Because they know 99% of their family members are too scared to speak up about it. And that's exactly what they're getting away with. And now the new bait and switch is how they're going to tell, because they know in certain areas like England, the people have had enough and they're literally millions of people in the streets and they're ready to literally go after the government if the government keeps them locked down. So what did the government do? They dangled the carrot in front of them and said by June 21st, we're going to open everything, no restrictions. Meanwhile, what do they have in their back pocket? And what do all of our countries have in their back pocket? These little things called variants. So now they're going to talk about the new Indian variant in England and why the Indian variant, because they have a high Indian population there, so it resonates with them. So they're going to say this Indian variant is so scary and so deadly that if it starts spreading, we're going to have to roll back the opening. They're already going to tell you that in the next couple of days to get you ready. So on June 21st, you know you're not opening. Just like in Ontario, they extended our stay-at-home order till June 2nd. That means we're not even supposed to allow to leave our houses all day long in the summertime. We're just supposed to stay home like idiots. We've been locked down since November in Ontario. November. Everything closed, everything locked down, and now they're pushing it to June and telling you, oh, if we're really good, if you guys are really good, then we might be able to open up in July and August. What's going to happen if we don't open up in July and August? We're just going to stay locked down for September, October, November again? And we're just going to – they're literally getting Canadians accustomed to the idea of being on perpetual lockdown forever, even after they take this vaccine. If Canadians are stupid and naive enough to believe that even after 75% of them get vaccinated, which isn't going to happen anyway because there's not that many stupid people in Canada – they're still not going to give you your freedoms back. They're still not going to let you open your businesses with full capacity. They're still not going to let you take the mask off. They're never going to let you take the mask off. The day they let you take the mask off is the day people stop caring about the pandemic. The mask is what makes everything possible. The mask is what people use to show their compliance, their submission, muzzling their voice, and above all else, seeing all the people wearing the mask gives you the impression that there's something to be afraid of. So they're never going to let you take those masks off, everybody. Just like they're never going to declare the emergency over, because the day they declare the emergency over, they can no longer vaccinate you with an experimental injection that hasn't been FDA approved.
Well, they've got it all figured out, don't they, Chris? Eh? I mean, these guys are psychopaths.
Oh, they're beyond psychopaths. Declare an emergency so you can suspend our rights and freedoms, strangle our businesses and destroy our economy so you can take financial control of everybody that you just made dissolute, ignore all the other consequences like the massive amounts of suicides and children killing themselves and divorces and overdoses and everything else, and just keep focusing on these so-called COVID deaths that we just name as every other cause. Let's forget that the flu just disappeared. It's not that we're just reclassifying flu deaths and calling them COVID deaths. No, no, no. While we have a pandemic, somehow we eradicated another virus that's been endemic in our population forever, basically. There's no logic in anything, and the fact that people are still going along with it is a testament to how weak Canadians are. They push us around the world as the nicest people. Our government wants us to have that moniker. Why? Do you know what the origin of the word nice is in Latin? It's ignorant. Meaning you're easy to take advantage of. You're easy to manipulate. You won't stand up for yourself. Of course the government wants you to be nice. A nice person, you can do whatever you want to, and they're not going to do anything back to you. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Canadians are literally having everything taken from them, and they're sitting there waiting for their abusers to tell them what to do next.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Chris, everything's fine because the hockey's on. The playoffs are on. Oh, buddy. Yeah. Everything's fine. Yaha, my team's winning.
Yeah, it's funny. We can watch our teams play in packed stadiums, but we can't go outside. We can't even go to the beach and play volleyball with five people. We'll get kicked off the beach, and they'll take our volleyball, and they'll call us criminals, and they'll call us grandma killers. But we can go home, sit at home, and watch our Toronto Blue Jays play to a fans of 50,000 people in Texas. No problem. And they're not crazy. They're not grandma killers. They're not conspiracy theorists. They're not anti-science. They're just crazy Americans. They're so crazy that they're actually living their lives without fear, and their economy's open, and their people don't have muzzles on their face, and their children aren't getting health consequences. And, oh, they're so crazy. I wish we were as crazy as them. Well, crazy is the word. All Canadians are doing is making excuses for being cowards. It's that simple. The government is seeing that the government likes the power they have. The government likes the control they have. And they see that the more they squeeze Canadians, the more Canadians bend over and take it. So what do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to stop, or you think they're going to keep bending you over and giving it to you?
Yeah. Hey, Chris, you know, and I know this is never, ever going to go away unless Canadians get the intestinal fortitude to stand up to it. And you're right. I don't know if Canadians have that. We are a weak people now compared to our forefathers, man. Our grandfathers are rolling in their graves right now because we're giving away what they died to give us, and we're doing
imagine for 1 second, everybody listening, and this is a serious subject, and I know it's going to sound funny and ridiculous, could you imagine 18 to 25-year-old Canadian males of this generation storming the beach of Normandy and going up against German troops of the same age from the 40s and 50s, and the massacre that would have ensued. Let's just leave it. That's why this is happening to Canadians, because we are now the weakest people on planet Earth, and that's why we have the longest and most strictest lockdown. Not because our COVID is so bad, because our people are that afraid, and our people are that not willing to act, and all they do is make excuses all day long. Denial and excuses, denial and excuses, and it's sickening. And it even spreads to our protest groups, because I go to protests and there's thousands and thousands of people there not wearing masks and talking about how they're not going to comply, and then guess what? The next day, 99% of them are going grocery shopping and still wearing their mask. That's the reality. You know, I'm talking to all the people that pretend like they're supporting me right now, and all the people that come out to the protest and act like they're in solidarity within the movement. And then the day after the protest, they put their mask back on. The day after the protest, they put the mask back on their kids. The day after the protest, they still keep their business closed. This is why this is happening, because you guys come out there just to feel good, and they don't really do anything. The whole tour that I did was called Taking Action, and I literally gave you guys – I broke you guys down into four groups. I broke you guys down into small businesses. I broke you guys down into concerned parents, concerned employees that don't want to be vaccinated, and people who just want to take off the mask and go about their daily shopping. I had you guys make groups all over social media in every major Canadian city, in every province in Canada. I had you guys congregate. I had you guys get together. I gave you guys detailed instructions on how to implement your actions. And so far, I have not seen anything. The telling tale will be May 24th if we see businesses open up. And to be honest, when I was in BC, I could see the businesses were ready to open. In a place like Montreal, I can see that I don't think the businesses are going to open. That's my prediction. You're not going to see it happen across all of Canada. You're going to see a discrepancy between provinces, just like you are now.
Yeah, I think Montreal would be the place that would open in defiance because of the people they've had out to the protests. Chris, you know, they have a culture.
I wish I could agree with you on that, and I could see Montreal people defying the curfew. I could see Montreal people, like, defying stay-at-home orders. But the business owners in Montreal, when I've been talking to people, and I talk to a lot of people, they are so complacent. They are so terrified, and every single one of them is just like, oh, it's just another couple of weeks, I'm sure. They're still repeating the mantra of 2 weeks, almost 70 weeks later.
Right. You know, if the government came out and actually told people the truth, Chris, that, you know, these lockdowns are never, ever going to go away. But what they do, of course, they extend it a month and then extend it another month and extend it another month. But if they came out and told Canadians the truth, you might see a rise in Canadians. Because, like I said, this is never going to go away. Never.
Of course. And that's what I keep telling Canadians, is trying to drill it into their head. But I'm one person telling them the truth, and then they go home and their TV just tells them, just sit at home, just comply, everything's going to be great. And no matter what you do, don't listen to Chris Sky, he's crazy.
Well, hey, Chris, if anything, buddy, I'll tell you, you have motivated a lot of people in this country, and that I applaud you for. But what we need right now in this country, Chris, is another 500 guys like you standing up and coming forward. Really, because we are in big, big trouble, my friend, big trouble. Canadians, really, Chris, if Canadians got a grasp of what was really going on in this country right now, how close we are to becoming a communist state, you would see Canadians rise. But still, unfortunately,
when you say communist state, 9 out of 10 Canadians roll their eyes and think you're an idiot, because they're absolutely,
that can't happen here, Chris.
Absolutely brainwashed, and they'll be like, there's no such thing as communism. This is Canada. Communism can never come here. Meanwhile, you have no rights and freedoms. The government can close your business whenever you want. The government can declare you essential. The government's putting a universal basic income, which is the hallmark of every communist dictatorship. The government sends Gestapo teams like they did to get people like me and people like Pastor Art. The government puts people like me on a no-fly list without any cause, without any charges, without anything. So how are we different than any other communist dictatorship? Because they tell you that they're not a communist dictatorship on TV?
Exactly. Well, you heard what happened to Arthur's house last night, eh, Chris?
I heard that someone tried to light it on fire.
Well, no, his garage was torched. It was set on fire last night. And if people aren't aware of who Arthur Pulowski is, he's been all over the world right now. People are listening to what he did in the church alone, just yelling the Gestapo in the church, went viral. Well, that gentleman's house was attacked yesterday, and I'll bet you we could put three names out there and we could tell people who they are, but we won't go there, Chris, but we know who's behind it. And it's not going to stop there. What are they going to do next? Firebomb his house? Is that what it's going to take, folks? Go ahead, Chris.
And the funny part is, I got the pleasure of meeting Mr. Pulaski over there. I was at his house, I went to his church. I actually got to speak at his church, and it was phenomenal. The congregation is just full of life and full of positivity. Beacon of hope for the entire community. Meanwhile, there's videos of them getting shut down so drastically and dramatically, and then there's mosques down the street, and they're full of people, and nobody's bothering them. Completely open. So yes. is it really for our health and safety, or is it a war on Christianity, as we were told would be coming? Because I see that certain religions are being allowed to practice, while certain religions are not being allowed to practice, and all religions need to be allowed to practice. It's that simple.
Well, I am a Christian, Chris, and my Bible tells me about this particular time, how Christians are going to be persecuted, and I see it manifesting itself right now. So there's no doubt that we are seeing Christian persecution around the planet ramp up, not just Canada, but everywhere around the planet, Christians are being persecuted. Yeah, like you said, man, a mosque is allowed to open. They're allowed to practice their religion in Canada, while Christian churches are having fences put up around them, and Christian pastors are going to jail. What is wrong with this picture, folks?
Yep, and not to mention a lot of the traditional Muslim clothing, especially for the women, already covers the face. So it's not like they have to go out of their way to put a mask on. For them, it's a little bit normal.
What are the masks? The masks are one step to the burqa, right, Chris? Come on, cover your face.
The masks are really just to kill everybody's identity and to make everybody afraid and to literally take away their voice. There's ads on the subways in Toronto that show little stick figures, and the first one shows two stick figures sitting without masks and talking to each other. It has a big X on it. And then in the next one, it shows two stick figures sitting there with masks on talking to each other, and it says, okay. And then it has another one with two stick figures wearing the mask on and turning away from each other and not talking, and it has a big check mark and says, the best. So what is it really about? It's about isolating you and shutting you the hell up. They literally have a cartoon telling you to put on your mask and don't talk to the person beside you.
Exactly. It's about compliance. It's about shutting us up, making us feel like we're irrelevant, that we don't have a place in society. The thing that bothers me the most about this whole thing, Chris, is what we're doing to our children. And I'll tell you, buddy, I have done a lot of looking into the effects of hypoxia on a small child. The reduction of oxygen going into a 10-year-old brain has a catastrophic effect on their body. But making these kids wear masks in school, to me, is criminal, my friend. It's beyond criminal. I want to grab them by the throat and strangle them. Go ahead.
It's psychological and physiological torture on a grand scale. They cannot deny that putting a face covering on your face impairs your oxygen intake. Even if it's minuscule amounts, even a 1% reduction of oxygen intake for a developing brain, like you said, will have catastrophic effects for their mental and physical development. And then we have, and not only that, just the idea of having to wear the mask and all the social distancing and everything else keeps the children in a constant state of fear and anxiety, which it's impossible to learn how to do anything except be afraid in those circumstances. It's absolutely disgusting what we're doing to the children, and the children are the future of the country. If we allow this on a countrywide scale, mass trauma to the children and destroying their psychological and physiological potential and development, our country's done. Literally. What's going to happen in 20 years when all the kids grow up and they literally can't do anything without being told what to do? We're going to have a nation full of zombie children.
Yeah, good little compliant robots that will do anything the government tells them to do. The fear factor, the trauma that these children are experiencing right now is totally unnecessary. It's going to have permanent effects on them. Neurological damage being done by lack of oxygen. And I've looked into this a lot, Chris, and the numbers are actually, you're looking at about 4% reduction in oxygen by putting on a mask. Depends on the mask. But you can take one of these probes down at the fire station, Chris, and do a simple test. You know, put it in front of your mouth, take a breath of oxygen. It'll register how much oxygen is going into your body. Put a mask on, do the same test, and you'll see it's dropping up to 4% reduction. Plus the fact that we're recycling our own carbon dioxide. It's the worst thing you can do to a human body.
hypoxia. And you're putting all other types of contaminants on the mask as well. So then you're breathing bacteria. Yeah. And it's a nice, wet, warm environment so it can flourish. And that's why you're seeing increases of bacterial pneumonia.
Exactly.
From the mask, not from COVID. COVID doesn't cause a bacterial infection in your lungs. No, you need bacteria in there to have the infection.
And it also is lowering your immune system. Yeah, but they're going to label it COVID. It's perfect.
Everything's COVID.
Make them sick.
Everything's COVID. A guy died on a motorcycle accident in Florida. They called him a COVID death. I'm not even making that up. You can look it up.
Because he had tested positive. I know. I saw that. I know. I don't mean to laugh, Chris, but I got to laugh at some of this because it's insane. If I don't laugh, I will go insane.
It's true. You have to. If you can't laugh at crazy, you will go crazy. But it was like you said before, people are supposed to be intelligent. Well, I can tell you this. An individual might be intelligent. The masses are morons. That's the truth.
Well, I have to agree with you, Chris, because I see about 95% of the people in Terrace or more still walking around and following the mask guidelines, no matter what the government says, they are going to follow it. And until we can break that paradigm, we have a big problem on our hands.
And that's exactly what we were trying to do with the stage one of the awakening of United Noncompliance. The awakening was just trying to get everything through to everyone's head that this is not about your health and safety. This is about control and dominance. And you can just take any one of the restrictions and examine it through a lens of health and safety, and then examine it through a lens of control and dominance and see which one makes more sense. Like, for instance, the 14, the hotel quarantine. So apparently you're safer and it's better for your health to get off a plane, get a test at an airport, go on a bus full of people from the airport, go to a government building full of people from the airport, stay there for a day, and then go home and quarantine versus just going home and quarantining. So which one are you safer and which one's better for your health? When you're in two separate places full of potentially sick people before you go to your house, or when you just go to your house alone?
I know the whole government hotel fiasco is just a joke, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of it. It definitely doesn't make you healthier. It definitely doesn't make you safer. But if the government's trying to deter you from traveling and trying to make travel so traumatic that when they say, hey, just take our vaccine passport so you can travel without restrictions, the people will take it. It makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? And you can do that with any one of the restrictions.
Exactly. I've had people already tell me that's the reason they've gone and got the vaccine, is because they want to be able to travel. And I'm going
exactly, and they haven't even made the vaccine passport yet. Those are the people that are so compliant that they go and do what they're told before they're even told to do it.
Well, you're right. The vaccine passport is just around the corner, Chris. It's just around the corner.
100%. It's already law. It's already law in Israel. It's already law in Hungary. It's already law in New York State. And we already had seen states like Florida have to draft executive orders to block it, while the Biden administration is trying to override the executive orders and force it. So the U.S. is going to be a very strange country over the next few years. I think you're going to see a scramble for the Democrats to try to replace as many Republican governors as they can so they can force the vaccine passport down the Americans' throats.
Americans in big trouble, Chris.
And in Canada, their scam is so much easier. They're just going to tell everybody, we're not opening until we get 75% of the population vaccinated. And then even if they don't get 75% of the population vaccinated, when they can't hold the population back anymore from wanting to open, they'll say, okay, we reached our target of 75% vaccination. And now that we have such compliance with the vaccination, we're going with our vaccine passport. And they're not going to give you a debate. They're not going to give you a choice. And they're just going to make a law over all of Canada. To make us safe, of course. And then,
go ahead, Chris. I was going to say, anybody on welfare, anybody on a pension plan is going to get this from the government coming forward very soon. Go ahead.
100%. And then once they have the vaccine passport for travel, they're going to go and show everybody with some false data. They'll call it modeling data, stuff they made up. And they're going to show you how much safer travel became because of the vaccine passport. And then because we're still obviously going to have COVID around, they're going to say, well, we need to do everything we can to keep us as safe as possible. So obviously, it's just logical that the vaccine passport will now apply to employment.
Of course.
And then you're done.
Yeah, well, if you control the media, Chris, you control the public. And the government completely controls what we're hearing in Canada about this narrative.
Well, the government and Big Pharma control the media. The two people that are working together to destroy us and take our freedoms, make us sick, and ruin the future of our countries for our children are the ones that spend all the money on our media. And you're still watching the media and taking what they say and pretending like it's truth, and you're actually making your decisions based off what they're telling you to do. Meanwhile, when you watch the news, do you not notice that about 8 out of 10 of the commercials are pharmaceutical commercials? Did you not notice that our government gave over $600 million to our so-called news stations to make sure that they say exactly what the government wants them to say? Like, people, wake the hell up.
Well, we're in Germany 1937 right now, Chris. Go ahead.
Pretty much. You can speculate whether it's 36 or 37, but we're definitely in Germany during the Nazi era. And that's indisputable. And the only question is if end up the same way or if people are smart enough not to repeat history. Because those that don't remember history are doomed to repeat it. And it's like everybody not only didn't remember history, it's like history never even happened for most people. It's right. Like Canadians are literally oblivious to the entire world.
Exactly. Why do you think they're taking history out of our schools, Chris? Because they don't want people to know what's happened in the past. This is what it is. This is the way it is now. This is our new modern era. You don't need to know or worry about what happened in the last 200 or 300 years of human history because it's irrelevant. But, of course, you know, the Nazis used this program in the Second World War. Why did they use it again? Why are they using the same program? Because it works, Chris. I've read the one book that I have read. The one book that I have read is The Communist Manifesto. And I'll tell you, folks, you read that book, and it'll cross the T's and dot the I's exactly what's going on in our society, word for word, right now, as we speak. Go ahead, Chris.
It's a playbook for exactly what they're doing. If you need any other examples, look at any other socialist or communist nation in recent history, from Russia to Venezuela to Poland to Kazakhstan to Hungary. They're all the exact same. And that's why when we have our protests in cities like Toronto, a lot of the participants are people that fled those Eastern European countries because they lived through communism. They had their family members get killed via communism. They escaped from communism to come here where they could be free, and now they see it coming from a mile away. Yep. Meanwhile, Canadians that have never even seen an oppressive government because they were born in Canada and think government's their best friend have no idea. Have no idea what government's capable of. Canadians have no idea that the number one cause of death in the 20th century was democide. Governments killing their own people. And all you hear from Canadians, government would never do that. Our government would never do that. Our government wouldn't want to do this. Our government wouldn't want to destroy the economy. Our government wouldn't want to make us sick. Our government wouldn't want to kill us. Are you guys out of your mind? Of course they do. Every single one of those things that I just said they would do gives them more money and more power. And that's why they're in government in the first place, because they're attracted to control and they're attracted to money and they're attracted to power.
So what's the solution for us right now, Chris? What would you put forward as a solution right now?
Canadians growing a set of balls and spine and simply taking off their masks and opening their business. It's really that easy. Like, you don't need to overcomplicate things. It's very simple. Take off your mask, open your business, and that's it. And it's over. It's that friggin' simple. But Canadians are such pussies that it becomes impossible.
I agree. There's never been a more important time in our history, Chris, that I believe civil disobedience is the order of the day. It's our duty right now to protect the freedoms that we still have left in this country.
Oh, sorry, I lost you. I lost your Bluetooth there. Hold on.
Okay.
I don't know what just happened there.
Well, we're hearing you, Chris. Are you hearing us?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Well, civil disobedience is the order of the day, Chris.
We call it united non-compliance. And what does that mean? It means that we all have rights and freedoms regardless of our age, gender, ethnicity, social status, whether we're government, law enforcement, a civilian, a criminal, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone has rights. Everyone has freedoms. Everyone's being subjugated the same way. Everybody needs to take off their mask. Everybody needs to open their business, and that's united noncompliance. Everybody acting in their own best interest, rejecting the government mandate, and doing what's best for themselves and their family and the future of our country. And if everybody did that, it would be over in 5 seconds, literally. Literally.
That's all it would take, Chris, is for us to stand up and say no. And I like the name of your book. I want to get one of these t-shirts, buddy.
I'm making t-shirts this week, actually. They're going to say, just say no, and they're going to have the Real Chris Sky logo on them. Because I had about I had over 75 emails directly asking for those shirts. So I said, fine, I'll get them done for you guys.
Well, like I said, Chris, you're having an influence on a lot of Canadians, buddy. Like I said earlier in the show, and that I applaud you for.
We need to have an influence far beyond Canada, my friend. They're using Canada as the example. I've never said this in any speech or any talk, but the real reason this is happening to Canada isn't just because we're the weakest. It's because Canada is the biggest prize in the world. We have the largest landmass. We have the most resources. We have everything anybody would want. We're the number one country in the world if you want to control a country. And if you were a dictator and they got offered any country in the world to be in charge of, it would be Canada, because you have the most resources. You have the biggest landmass, so you have the most potential for growth and development. And they see Canadians as just in the way.
Yep.
You understand now, Canada? That's what's happening.
Soft underbelly, man.
Yep. Canadians. And they just want to tear it right open, and they want to get rid of all Canadians and just replace them with somebody more compliant and pliable. And that's all this is. That's exactly what's going on. They even have quasi-government documents created by non-government agencies, so they have plausible deniability. Meanwhile, they're funded and authorized by the government and posted on government websites telling you how by 2030 the government's going to own everything, you're going to own nothing, but you're going to be happy about it. They're literally telling you that we're going to force communism down your throat and you're going to like it. And
Trudeau came out and said it. The Great Reset, man. Come on. Klaus Schwab.
Well, no, COVID-19, the Great Reset. It's just a conspiracy theory. And that's why the World Economic Forum this year is called the Great Reset, because it's a conspiracy.
Right, and the fact that Chrystia Freeland's involved with them, and maybe Michelle Rempel and quite a few other MPs in Canada, there's nothing to be seen there at all, is there, Chris?
You want to know about something about Chrystia Freeland?
She's a witch. Go ahead.
Okay, well, guess what she just got paid to do?
Fill my ears.
She was writing George Soros' biography.
Really? I didn't know that.
Because she's an author, first and foremost. She was just appointed as deputy PM. So guess what? She did George Soros' biography because, you know, he has such a hand in our Canadian politics that he got to choose our deputy prime minister to write his biography for him, which should raise alarm bells. She also wrote a book a few years back. You know what the title of her book was?
I've heard it, but go ahead, refresh my memory.
Plutocrats, the rise of the global super rich and the fall of everybody else. Well, she's dictating policies to destroy small business and uplift big business. So she's literally making the prophecy of her book happen through her government policies that she's helping dictate.
Right.
And people are still blind to what's actually going on.
Yeah. How many small businesses have closed in Canada since the start of this, Chris? I don't know the number. It's around 400,000.
I can tell you the CFIB is the one that does the strongest estimates on this. And at the beginning of all this pandemic, we had 1.15 million small businesses representing 97% of all the businesses in Canada and about 70% of all the jobs in Canada. By July 2020, last year, July, the CFIB said at least 200,000 businesses were closed and another 150,000 were in danger of closing. So by midsummer last year, we already had 200,000, which is almost 20% of our businesses closed, which represents almost 20% of our jobs. And then CFIB did another report in February 2021 saying by this summer, by July, we have 200,000 to 300,000 more businesses that will be closed by then. So by July, you can anticipate between 400,000 and 500,000 small businesses closed, which represent between 40 and 50% of all the small businesses in the country, or about 35% of our jobs. These are catastrophic numbers. This means our GDP is going to be shattered, and there's going to be no recovery. Because, first of all, they're not opening anything anyway. And when they do open, they open you capacity 10%. So they always talk about this great bounce recovery, like after the Great Depression. No, we're not going to have that. We have that nice sink, and it's just going to stay there. There's going to be no recovery. All you're going to see is them create universal basic income, because they're going to say they need it now that they created millions and millions of unemployed people. And now that they have to pay for those millions and millions of unemployed people, they're just going to raise your taxes on everybody that's still working and squeeze the shit out of you. And eventually they're going to get you in a position where you're going to have to take a reverse mortgage on your home from the government, where the government gives you money every month for the next 15 years. And then at the end of that, you survived and you lived your life, but now you own nothing and you pass on nothing to your children, and your children are going to go through the exact same thing of owning nothing, only they ain't going to be happy. I'll tell you that right now. Name me one time in communism where a government can supply everything for the people and do a better job than the people looking after themselves.
It's never happened, Chris, but that's exactly where we're going, and we're getting there very, very quickly. And I just pray and hope that Canadians can wake up just in time to stem the tide here, because we are really, really in a pile of poop right now, and it's only going to get better.
It's only going to get way worse. People haven't even realized they're in a fight yet. And I have people, and I walk on the street, and I see the mask wearer saying, oh, we're almost through this. We're almost done. It's almost over. The reality is, the darkness has just started to descend upon society. The sun is still out, and people think that this is almost over. It's just getting started. And if we allow them to get their foot in the door, our lives and our entire world is never going to be the same.
I agree. So right now we're at a kind of a tipping point, the way I see it, Chris. I see for the first time in conversations that I'm having in just my little town of Terrace, BC here, where people are really starting to pay attention, starting to get it. So we are seeing a shift, but it's got to happen very quickly, because they are really ramping up their agenda, really ramping it up.
Well, yeah, because they're not getting any resistance. They're only getting resistance from people like me. So they're getting scared, and they're trying to push everything forward faster before people can wake up.
I think you're going to start seeing major resistance from people in Canada, Chris. I really honestly believe that in the next couple months, we're going to see major, major pushback starting to come. The groups of doctors that are forming in Canada and are going to take a universal voice against the government is inspiring. And I know there's a couple major groups that are forming in Canada right now of doctors that are going to step forward.
Oh, yeah, I posted on realchrissky.com. That's one of the other initiatives you can see. I post all the major initiatives going around Canada. So it's a good website to go to see, www.realchrissky.com. And one of those is the Canadian Declaration of Physicians. And
right,
it was in response.
It
was in response to the Ontario Physicians College releasing that chilling memo that basically said any physician that speaks out against our political agenda is going to be scrutinized and have their license revoked. So now we have over 1,800 people that have already signed this Canadian Declaration, and hundreds of them are doctors saying that we will speak out against COVID, we will speak out against the restrictions, we will speak out against the vaccinations, and we will speak out against the masks. So they're not going to be silent. So that people are stepping up. We have kicked a lot of cracks through the dam, and the water is coming through. And they're trying to patch it, but they can't. And it's just going to be now we got to the point where they cannot suppress the information, and everybody knows exactly what's going on. The problem is, everybody knows they still ain't doing anything because they're still terrified. People are terrified of the government, like completely terrified of the government. They will literally sit there and watch their business and their livelihood go down the toilet without even trying to fight back, because in their minds they believe they can't. And that's what they got to get out of. Everybody needs to fight. If you don't fight, you don't deserve what you have. Everything that's happening right now is because you're allowing it. The government didn't close your business. You're closing your business. The government didn't put a mask on your kid. They just told you to do it, and you, like a little bitch, did it. So who do you have to blame? The bad people telling you to do bad things to yourself, or you for being an idiot and a weak person to do the bad things to yourself, knowing that they're bad things, but doing them anyway because you're too scared to say no to the bully telling you to do it? It's no different than the bully coming and stealing your lunch money right out of your pocket, and you getting so used to it that the next day you just walk over and hand it to him. That's basically what's happening right now. Mm. Only people are doing that with their children. So,
parents allowing any child to put on a mask right now, all I can say to you is shame on you. Shame on you. Because you haven't taken the half an hour that it takes to go on the internet and look at the effects of putting a mask on a child. And it's right there in black and white.
It's worse than that, my friend. Many of them know better. I have parents call me in tears saying that they know the mask is hurting their children. Their children come home from school crying, saying they don't want to wear the mask. Yet they still keep it on them just because they're weaklings. And those people, I literally lose it on them on the phone and tell them I tell them the truth. You don't even deserve your kids. And I hang up on them. So if I talk to them anymore, I'm going to want to come to where they are and literally take their kids from them. So they need a real parent.
I know. I feel the same way when I see people walking down the street with a mask on a five-year-old child. I want to pull over and go, what the heck are you doing? But that just shows you how deep the indoctrination really is in our society and how much people, like you said, are terrified of the government, Chris.
They're not terrified of COVID, that's for sure. I know somebody that lives and works in China. They're a friend of a friend of mine, and we were on a Zoom call, and there was all these Chinese business associates who all live in China. And we were talking about the restrictions here and how we have way more restrictions than China, the epicenter of the virus. Like, way more, not even close. And that's where the virus came from, and they have such a high population density, you would think that they would have more restrictions than us. Meanwhile, the people in the meeting were gloating, but they didn't even know anyone. You know, you ask anyone, do you know anyone that died of COVID in Canada? And everyone's like, no, or they come up with some stupid analogy like, oh, yeah, this guy who worked at my mom's work who was married to her uncle or some stupid thing like
friend.
That.
So yeah,
like,
yeah,
a friend of a friend of a friend. These people were saying they didn't even know anybody that had COVID. And these are people that live in China near Wuhan, the epicenter of the virus. And they didn't even know anybody that got COVID, let alone who died from it. Meanwhile, in Canada, we can't even go outside.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't exist, Chris. All they've taken is a flu virus and renamed it. I mean, if you look at the numbers speak for themselves. And the numbers haven't changed in the last 10 years in Canada. The only thing that's changed is the way that this has been rammed down our throat by the media. She goes to show you the power of the people, man.
Yeah, so people don't get confused. What he's saying is in the last 10 years, you can check this in every country around the world, the total number of deaths from all causes has not changed.
Exactly.
In a normal pandemic, when a significant portion of the population dies in a year or over the 2 or 3 years of the pandemic, you're going to see a spike in total deaths. Meanwhile, in the COVID pandemic, it's the only time in the history of humanity where we've had a pandemic and the exact same number of people died in 2020 that died in 2019, except nobody died from the flu, less people died from heart disease, less people died from cancer, less people died from stroke, and everybody died of COVID.
I've looked at the numbers for the last 10 years in Canada, Chris, and all people have to do is go study those numbers. What you really want to do, Chris, wherever you live right now in Canada, go in a couple funeral homes in your community and ask them if they saw a major rise in business in 2020. Put that question to them, and 99% will say, no, we never saw a rise in business, because people are doing that, Chris, across the country right now. It speaks for itself, buddy.
That's a very good point. I even talked to owners of funeral homes, and they said they never got a spike in business. They never got anything. All they got was stupid restrictions that they had to put on people. But
exactly.
Their business stayed virtually steady. There was like one of the businesses that wasn't even affected by the COVID pandemic, virtually. And
yeah.
It was the one business you would think would be booming.
Yeah, you think they'd have a bumper year last year with all these people that were supposed to die in our society from this pandemic, man. Well, you know, the word pandemic doesn't even apply. This so-called virus doesn't even come close to matching the criteria of a pandemic, Chris. I mean, they use that word because it creates fear.
It creates a pretense for an emergency. And when you have a pretense for an emergency creates the ability for them to remove our rights and freedoms and violate the law. And that's all And that's why you have the old adage, when you let the government break a law during an emergency, they'll just create an emergency to break the law. And that's why our rights and freedoms matter during an emergency, just like they matter during normal times, everybody.
Yep. Well, we definitely living in a la-la world here, Chris. And what's changed in our society in the last 14 or 15 months just boggles my mind. But in the same multitude, we knew, you know, people that have been studying government for years, and we all knew that this was going to happen one day, Chris, that one day they were going to come after us with some kind of national emergency, whether it would be financial or whether it would be a health emergency. They would come after us, and they take all our food.
Or a war.
Exactly what they're doing.
Or a war, exactly. Everyone predicted what was happening. We just didn't know the method of or the vehicle they would use to employ it. And that's all COVID is. Everybody needs to realize that. COVID is just a vehicle for them to employ an agenda of taking away your rights and freedoms and installing themselves as perpetual dictatorships over every aspect of your life, generations to come. It's that simple. Yeah.
Well, you're mandating us how to look after this so-called emergency coming from the World Health Organization, which is basically run by communist China. You look at Theresa Tam and her connection to the World Health Organization and the Communist Chinese Party. And if you put those pieces together alone, folks, it should scream volumes. Who runs the World Health Organization?
I want to say something about Theresa Tam real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I made this challenge to the internet. I want somebody to tell me Theresa Tam's birthday, and then I want someone to come up with a logical explanation why even her own personal biography doesn't have a birthday listed for her. They just have a birth location of Hong Kong and a year. How does somebody not have a birthday? It's because they changed their identity or their name. And you could also look up Theresa Tam at any of the so-called universities that she went to and got degrees from, and you will not find any Theresa Tam have attending or graduating. So I would like to challenge the internet and anybody listening to find out Theresa Tam's actual birthday and find her college transcripts and then come up with a reason why you can't.
And in the same time, can you find Barry Soretto's birth certificate for us, please?
Yeah, the one that wasn't created on Photoshop by a 15-year-old.
That one. Yeah. Hey, you know what, Chris? You know, this hour is almost gone here, buddy, and I'll tell you, it's been a pleasure having you on. But for the last minute here, can you plug where people can find you, where they can follow you, and what you're up to in the next little while? And I hope I can get you back on again sometime in the near future, my friend.
100%. I'd love to come back on once we launch the book. So everyone can find me on realchrissky.com. My Telegram and Twitter feeds are posted on the website. So even if you don't have Twitter or Telegram, you can still see everything I post on those. And you can find me at realchrissky on Telegram, Chris Sky on Twitter, Chris Sky on Facebook, and of course, realchrissky.com is the website. Within about 2 weeks, the book's going to be coming out, Just Say No. We're going to have the shirts coming out, Just Say No. And we're going to be announcing more tour dates that we're going to be starting on May 23rd. So, yeah, sign up at realchrissky.com. You'll see all the other great initiatives that are going on around Canada that are trying to help people, like opening the businesses. We have Police on Guard for Thee, who have sued the government. We have the Canadian Declaration of Positions. And, so we got a whole bunch of good info that everybody needs. So go to realchrissky.com, sign up, get ready to buy the book. Buy it for your friends and family that are ready to take the vaccine. Buy it for your friends and family that are wearing the mask every day. These are the people we need to wake up. That's what this book is for. The book is for the people that don't really know what's going on. If you already know what's going on, read it. You'll like it. But it's really made for people that don't get it. And it's written in a way that they can't not get it.
Chris, I got to thank you again for coming on, man. It's been a pleasure. And folks, support this man. He is he's one of a kind in Canada, and he is doing great things for this country. I really look forward to having you on again here, Chris. Thanks for joining me today, buddy.
My pleasure. And hopefully next time I'm not driving.
Yeah, it's all good. It was a great show, man. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with the audience, bud.
My pleasure, brother. We'll talk soon.
Okay, folks. Okay, guys, we'll be back in. I'll be back in about 4 minutes with Jürgen Wallrath. You think Chris had something to say? Listen to what Jürgen's going to say.
Thank you, everybody. Bye bye.
Bye for now, Chris.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
Eternal bright and fair.
Welcome back, third hour, folks, and thanks again for Chris for coming in. I really enjoyed his conversation. I know he dropped a couple cuss words there during the course of the hour, folks, and I'll try and make sure the next time I have him on, we can avoid that because I know it offends people over in Shaken Awake. But outside of that, it was a very good conversation, and the gentleman is doing great things for Canada, and that's all I can say. It's my pleasure to have Jürgen Wallrath back in for the third hour. Anybody that's listened to my shows over the years has the pleasure of listening to Jürgen talk quite a few times. It's semi-regular on my shows. Welcome back, Jürgen. And I want to hear your Klaus Schwab impersonation, buddy.
A Klaus Schwab impersonation. Well, let me tell you something. I own the world. Very, very happy. You own nothing, and you are a little less happier than I am. But that is okay, because that is the way it is supposed to be, because you are not as intelligent as I am, because I can dress like a guy from Star Wars, and you can't. I want to see your papers, yeah?
Hey, that's happening right now in Canada, buddy.
Exactly right.
You get to show our papers now in Canada.
It's amazing. It's amazing how in 1 year we went from 14 days to flatten the curve to we want to see your papers.
Yeah, and line up and take your vaccine or else, man. Come on.
Yeah, I listened to the last hour with Chris. It was very good. And, you know, if you want to carry on that conversation, that would be fine with me. But I'd like to start then by saying, if I can, Barry, that you know and I know that a nation is judged on how it treats its elderly and how it treats its children. And all we have to do is take a good look around at how Canada is treating its elderly and its children. We are not in a very good place. We are putting our children under masked guard. We are restricting them from their education and socializing so that they can progress to be normal human beings. We're creating, like you discussed in the last hour, a complete envelope of fear that will carry through into their adult years. You are creating a society of compliance like no other we have seen before, but it's not going to work because we know anyone who has studied the Georgia Guidestones and the Freemasons and all the secret societies, we know that the half a billion people projected to remain standing when all this is said and done are certainly not going to be white people and black people. They're going to be the yellow people because they've already been led to subservience over the last 100 or so years. And they are very willing to be compliant to the overlords. So this is where we sit. And you know, when you really look at it, if you people look at the Georgia Guidestones, for example, and they look at the one thing which was, let's say, the number of people that are going to be left in the world, which is a half a billion. And what it says on the Guidestones, remember, it says maintain humanity under half a billion in perpetual balance with nature. Okay, so we have to break that down. It's not just the number. It's how do we achieve that number and how do we keep that number in perpetual balance with nature. Well, you have to then read some more, right? It says next, it says you have to guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Well, okay, how do you do that? You guide reproduction wisely by genetically altering the DNA so you can come up with perfect people, or you transform them into a combination of AI and humans, which is where we're at. All of these people like Jeffrey Epstein, they were all transhumanists. They were all working on genetically bioengineering humanity to create the half a billion perfect people. Again, if you go back to the Georgia Guidestones, you read it again. It says you rule passion and faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Okay, so all things with tempered reason. Let's break that down, right? Tempered reason by who? Break all things down, like rule your passion and faith and traditions and all things with a tempered reason. That's like Dr. Birx saying that we Democrats or we liberals, we have to take a more liberal approach to mortality. In other words, we don't care whether you live or die. Our goal is the goal of the Georgia Guidestones, maintain humanity under 500 a million in perpetual balance with nature. and your rule of passion and faith and tradition and all things with tempered reason. And now you look around and you look at how a nation is judged. It's judged on how it treats its children and its elderly. We are doing endless harm to the children, like I said, and we are basically, as you know, we're taking the seniors and we're just basically killing them. We're in a death culture. We've been in a death culture. I've been saying that for at least the last 10 years, surrounded by people who are following these guidestones. There's no question about it. When you asked me last week to be on the show, I started doing some more research into the guidestones because of where we are and all the things that you've been talking about and Chris Sky and all of the fights we have and where does all this come from. And I'm a big one into looking into why are we here? Who are the people that are doing this to us? And the more you dig into this, the more you see that ancient history isn't ancient, and the more you realize that these things that are happening now have been happening for thousands of years, they're just disguised in a different way. Secret societies have been around us forever. The Freemasons come to mind. They are probably the largest satanic cult operating on the planet. It is the most massive secret society. We did a big look into that in the last week and how they control everything. Did you know, this is for your audience here, did you know, folks, that the Freemasons have made sure that there is an obelisk, and you know what an obelisk is. It's like the huge one in Washington, right by the White House there, right? That giant phallic symbol. Do you know that the Freemasons have made sure that there is one planted in every country on the planet? Did you know that?
I was aware of that, actually. Most people aren't. Go ahead.
Yeah, most people aren't because they just are blind. They look at it, they don't even know what it means, and they don't even ask, why is this here? What is it? It's just there, right? And if you ask 90% of the people on the planet, they have no clue what it even stands for or what it represents. And yet in the Freemasons, they know exactly what it represents. It's a giant phallic symbol that represents their superiority over the rest of us. And that's why they can, in the dead of night, put up something like the Georgia Guidestones that basically rules their intent. And their intent is based on satanic rituals. It's based on ancient tribal rituals, which we think have disappeared, which are still way up in front. And a lot of these people in power, as you know, we wonder why society gets engineered in the way it does. But if you look at these groups, you look at the foundations that are basically founded, they're all Freemasons. All these foundations, every single one of them, Freemasons has a hand in. Rockefeller, Clinton, every one of them, Trudeau, they all have a connection to the Freemasons, which all have connection to Satanism. If you look at right now, a lot of these politicians, when they claim their allegiance to God, it's not the God we're thinking of. Bell. But they disguise their words and their language to make us think that they believe in a good God, a God of love and tolerance, a God of compassion and empathy, a God of helping people in a true humanitarian fashion. Mm. No, when they talk about it, it's the God of darkness. I mean, I've seen more pictures of stars, celebrities, politicians, and famous people that are wearing upside-down crosses than I care to see for the rest of my life. Right. I know it's existing now. All you got to do is look around. Does any of this make any sense to anybody with a logical mind? Of course not, because it's all demonic. It's all satanic. It's all ruled by the darkness that has enveloped all of us for all of these years. For many, many years, you've seen a looming darkness ascend upon us. It's been coming, and it's disguised as this political thing when, in fact, it's this satanic thing disguised as a political thing. Right? Yep. They've taken – you just look in our lifetime, Barry. They took God out of school. They took the Ten Commandments out of school, and look how society has slid into this massive mess of nothingness where nobody – where those people of faith now in our country are dragged in the middle of a highway and put on their knees and put in jail. That's where we've got to in this country. That's evil. That is evil.
Yeah, but most people still don't get it, Jürgen. They just don't get it. The devil's running wild right now. We know that. We know his power is immense, and it's growing in leaps and bounds. And we are heading down a very dark path. Society still doesn't get it, Jürgen. They just don't get it. They think that everything's going to be fine. I talk to people every day that say, you know, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. The government's got it under control, Barry. What are you worried about? Nothing bad can ever happen in Canada. I hear that all the time. Boy, we really have a big problem in this country right now, Jürgen. And my heart's broken what I see going on in this country right now, especially when we talked about the first hour of the children and how we are affecting our children right now and how it absolutely is criminal. How I actually sit and I think about it and tears will come to my eyes when I think about what we're doing to our children and what they're going to turn out to be as adults in the future going forward if we allow this to continue. It is absolutely a tragedy. And yet people just go along to get along, Jürgen. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been like this for a long time. You and I know that. We talked about it how many years ago, the first time we ever spoke together, when I was still in Cornwall and you were out west. You are where you are now, right?
And
we've been talking about this for such a long time. But I want to go back to, if we can, for a second, your last show. We were talking about I wanted to talk about how the youth, Steve and I, during the break, we were talking about that as well. It's important people like Chris Skye get into this thing now. We've been waiting for a long time, you and I, Barry, for people younger than us in the 30s and 40s to get off their ass and do something, off their butts, I'm sorry, excuse me, get off their butts and do something. And it's finally time that we are seeing that. We're seeing the Mark Friesens, we're seeing the Laura Lynn Thompsons, and whatever all of their purposes are, whatever it may be, they're out there and they're sharing some truth. And, you know, what we're seeing is a rise in that kind of a thing. And you spoke about it at the end of the show. You're seeing it in the coffee shops. More and more people are becoming aware. You look at the rallies every week, there's more people, right? You look at Toronto, it's growing.
Yesterday
and I've been saying all along, this country needs Toronto to wake up. When Toronto wakes up, then it's over for them.
Absolutely. Toronto was inspiring yesterday, Jürgen. It really inspired me to see that many people on the streets of Toronto. But the beauty of it, Jürgen, you watch the people that are going to show up to the next rally in Toronto because the energy. I was talking to people there on the ground yesterday, Jürgen, and they said the energy was just incredible. They never experienced this before in their life where all of a sudden piles of people are getting together and going, hey, you know, this is absolute BS and it's going to come to a stop. I think you'll see 50 or 60,000 people on the streets the next time there's a rally in Toronto. I really do feel we're starting to turn the corner on this. And, of course, the more we turn the corner, the more they're going to push back, the more draconian measures they're going to bring forward. But they can't lose the narrative. They're close to losing it now. You look at the doctors that are starting to stand up in this country. That is inspiring me. That is one thing that we can do right now, Jürgen, I believe that could turn this whole thing right around is if we get enough doctors that want to unify as one voice, and we're seeing them form now. If that comes out and people really start to hear what's going on with this, you're going to see a lot of anger and you're going to see this thing come to an end. At least I hope so, because if not, we're going to lose it, buddy. We're going to lose it. And I hate the thought of that. I would not wish the future coming to this country. If we keep going the way we are, I wouldn't wish that on anybody because it's full-blown communism 2.0 creeping into our society at light speed right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's, you know, I... You and I have spoke about this in the past, and my lovely wife, who I love so dearly, you know what she went through with the tainted blood scandal. I look at this thing now, what we're going through now, and I see the same. I see similarities with how the government is reacting, with the lies, with the cover-ups, with the distorted information. It's absolutely mind-boggling. And yeah, like you say, it's very sad to see that so many Canadians refuse to even look at anything that comes close to a government being misinformative or even malfeasant, you know. And yet we've got a prime minister who's had so many integrity things against him, the Wee scandal, the SNC-Lavalin scandal. It just gets worse and worse. I talk to people back east, Barry, and it just breaks my heart. You look at these liberal – I read these liberal threads all the time, and I just want to cry. They don't care about any of this stuff. Nobody – the Canadians have just gotten so weak and so – so mindless. It's like they've been under complete control. And I talk to some people back east. I give up. I can't even talk. I got to get out of the room. My wife can talk to them still. I can't. I got to get out of the room. I can't take it anymore.
It's like trying to listen to Justin Trudeau talk. It's very, very hard for me to listen to that man talk, but I make myself listen to him. So I know what the enemy's saying, but I actually get physically sick listening to that man talk now.
Yeah.
Because all you hear coming out of his mouth is verbal diarrhea.
Yeah. So
but
true.
Like I said, I am seeing a change now where even in this little town now, in the last couple, 3 weeks here, a whole pile of people have really started coming forward and they're communicating with me. I know now that there is people in this community that are fully aware, but they're scared. Like I said, the fear of government is something we have to overcome, folks. They should be scared of us and we shouldn't be scared of them, but they've turned it around on us. But I believe the tipping point might come here very, very soon. At least I'm praying it comes very soon, with especially the amount of doctors that are ready now to step forward in a unified voice and speak against some of the draconian measures that have been implemented on us. And I see that coming real soon here. What Wayne Peters is doing right now, I applaud him.
Oh, yeah.
And the group, I don't know if you've been listening to the doctors talk on his show this week.
Yeah.
But every one of them is basically they're coming out with the same message, guys, that, you know, that they've been silenced, that they've been attacked. This should never happen in our society. But, of course, when you're following the Communist Manifesto, it's chapter for chapter for what they're trying to do to us. But I do see a change coming, Jürgen. And right now we really need to put our foot to the floor because they are just going crazy on us. Unbelievable stuff to see.
And this is why, you know, Barry, we tend to focus, and I'm the same, and I have a problem with that. We tend to focus in one area, and that's to our, that's a fault of ours. We need to expand a little bit. And by saying that, I don't mean that we're blind to things. I mean to say that all of us tend to follow that one direction. We're looking at China right now. We're looking at the CCP. We're looking at these communists, and we're looking at that as the takeover, as the new world order. We also have to look at the Vatican. We also have to look at the Freemasons. We have to look at these secret societies. These secret societies are the ones that are controlling all of this. They're mm-hmm. the ones that are pulling the strings to all of this. They're protected by universities that have these secret societies in place that allow them to hold their meetings where you have faculty and you have past students that support these secret societies where they have their rituals and you know, they're so well hidden that they can build cities underground that we don't even know about.
Yeah. Well, where do you think all our money that's going missing is going?
When they talk about infrastructure, it's not about our infrastructure. It's about their infrastructure. We need money for infrastructure so they build their underground cities so they can do their experiments and all their stuff. And you look at all the dumbs and you look at all the underground. Yet the one thing that always amazed me was way back when, having lived in Germany, knowing where England was and all of that, the English Channel and all of that, right? I remember the day when they announced that we're going to build a tunnel underneath to connect France and England. And all of a sudden, just like that, it was like it happened overnight. It was complete and they announced a grand opening. They could drill that tunnel so quick, we didn't even know about it. Right? Well, so you think now where they are throughout the world. I've been following a guy, Mike Morales, and he does this and these other people that do these earthquake checks. And I'm sure you do, too. I know you follow the earthquakes in the world. Have you seen what's going on in Iceland and Italy and all these places where they have all these 4.5s and these fives all congregated in one area, but there's no earthquakes? They're just blowing these places up.
I know. People should be paying attention to what's going on with geological events in the planet right now, Jürgen, because they're absolutely mind-boggling what's going on. Most people aren't aware of it. Go ahead.
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive.
I didn't start talking about it yet, but I will for a few minutes later if you want. But I've been following it really closely, what's going on. And it's scary.
Yeah, we see the chemtrails in the sky, but they don't talk about the bunker fuel trails, do they?
Not at all.
In the oceans.
No, not at all.
What they let off. They talk about the plastic we throw in the ocean. We're supposed to recycle all the time, while they have these massive bunker fuel trails across the ocean every friggin' day with these tankers that are polluting like crazy, while radioactivity still leaks into the Pacific Ocean, while everybody has to fly to France to make sure how they can tax us to death. Right.
The carbon is our enemy, Jürgen. You know that. I mean, it's the building block of all life on the planet, but now our enemy. How did that happen?
We are carbon.
I know we are. So I guess we should just maybe go kill ourselves, because we're threat, Jürgen. Come on, man.
Hey, listen. Our problem is we're white carbon. They got to get rid of us big time.
Well, it's a joke. I mean, when I went to school, I was taught that carbon was essential, that plants take in carbon and they exhale oxygen. Where did that all get changed, buddy? Where did it get changed?
That's the old
science. Greta. That's Greta for you.
Yeah, we need paid for science. The real science is no good anymore. We need government paid for science. That's the only science that counts these days.
Oh, their models are always accurate, too, of course.
Oh, always. They never lie. The government never lies. Like, they never lied to my wife when they gave her tainted blood. And, you know...
Do you want to talk about that for a minute, Jürgen? Because I don't think a lot of people are aware of what actually happened with the tainted blood. Do you want to talk about it just for a minute?
I would love to talk about that, because people need to understand how vile and how malfeasant government really is. Back in the early 80s, my wife broke her back in a car accident. And to make a long story very short, in subsequent surgery, she was given 6 units of hepatitis C tainted blood from the Ottawa hospital system. Okay? Now, this tainted blood that she was given 6 units of course, went into her, and it made her very sick, and therefore she couldn't work. And for over 20 years, we tried to figure out what was going on with her. And every doctor's appointment she went to, she was told it was in her head. There was nothing they could do. They put her on some heavy-duty narcotics for a while, that she eventually got off on her own, thanks to her strong will and her willingness to fight. But, they gave her that tainted blood and then refused to admit that they gave it to tens of thousands of Canadians. It was called the tainted blood scandal in the early 80s. You can hardly find any information on it now because, of course, the government shuts these things down. But it just goes to show the tie-in with the Red Cross, the federal government of Canada, the United States of America, the prison system, the Clintons, the Mulroneys, and all of them. Because at the end of the day, when we ended up doing our research and finding out what happened, it was basically the Clintons looking to get money to finance their political fortunes. So they went to the Arkansas and Louisiana state prison system, and they got free blood from the infected prisoners there and sold it to the Canadian Red Cross through a pharmaceutical firm. On the board of directors was Paul Martin, a former prime minister. The prime minister at the time was Brian Mulroney. He got cheap blood from his friend Bill Clinton, and they decided to give it to the Red Cross. The Red Cross administered it and gave it to the hospitals without cleaning the plasma. After it was the British and the French and the Americans told the Canadians how the blood was to be cleaned, the Canadian officials decided it was too expensive. We're going to give the blood anyways. And when the story broke that people were getting poisoned with not only hepatitis C, but with AIDS, HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, and every other man-made disease you can think of that resides in a hellhole prison like in Louisiana and Arkansas, that was injected into tens of thousands of Canadian people. And so what happened was some of that blood also went to France. Now, the difference in France was some people got arrested, and there's actually people that went to jail for what happened. In Canada, what happened was the head of the pharmaceutical firm, when everything was discovered, was quoted as saying, "I knew I should have sent this blood to Africa." So in their cold-hearted attempt to cover all of this up, of course, what happened, is also very disgusting, because at one point I remember, I think it was in 1998, we were screaming for compensation, of course, for the victims and my wife and that, because she was not able to work for the rest of her life unless, you know, she worked with me, and that was a situation where she could stay home if she had to. But anyways, you know, in trying to fight for legitimate compensation for a life lost and wages lost for a whole life, basically, we discovered that at one point there was $1.1 billion that the Canadian people generously decided to give the victims of the tainted blood scandal. So this $1.1 billion, now you think of this, okay? Everybody just please give this some thought. Parliament Hill is full of lawyers, okay? The people that are up there that represent us, I don't know, what is it, 50, 60, 70% are probably all lawyers, all right? And yet, when the Canadian people decided that the victims of the tainted blood scandal should get $1.1 billion in compensation spread out to those people that were victimized, they gave it to a private law firm in Montreal who took $150 million off the top and built a brand new building in downtown Montreal.
Wow.
Saying they were using that, as their administration fees. And yet, when people applied for compensation, they still charged them administration fees.
Wow. I didn't know that, Jürgen. So
the whole thing, and
nothing
that
surprises me.
It's a very famous law firm, KPMG, if you want to know. Okay.
Okay.
They took the money, and they got all that money. And yet, you should have seen the amount of paperwork that we were given to fill out for Heather to get any kind of compensation. It was astronomical. If I didn't have a brain, I would have thrown it away and given up like probably most people did. And when in trying to find out if people actually got the compensation, I was told, yes, it was all right. I never got any written proof that Canadian victims got the money that was left to them. So I know the meager amount that my wife got, and I thought if she got that, then I'll bet you there's a lot of people got nothing.
Well, so your wife did actually end up getting a little bit of compensation in the end.
Pardon?
Your wife ended up getting a little bit of compensation in the end of this, correct?
Five figures.
Low five figures. Five figures.
Five That's figures it. For life. For life.
Wow.
The first person who wrote it up, Barry, the first one who wrote it up, she got $500,000.
Yeah.
Any subsequent people, you know what they did is they judged your level of illness. They never said that, oh, you could be as sick as that person a year from now. They just said, well, based on your blood tests, we're going to give you this much. Right. At one point during the whole thing, I was so disgusted by the government not releasing any money to these victims. I went to a garden party for my MP back at the time. And I remember walking into his party, and it was a lovely summer day. And I go walking into his backyard. There's a band playing, and he comes up, and I'm the only guy walking in. I was by myself. And he comes to greet me, you know, because he wants my vote, right? And I started talking to him. I said, listen, I need you to speak up in the House. I need you to talk about compensation for the victims of the tainted blood scandal. I started going into it, and I was really mad. I was getting tempered. I was getting hot. But I calmed down, and I started throwing him facts. You know what he did? He had my hand. He was shaking my hand. And as I'm talking to him, he's looking over my shoulder to see who else was coming, and he brushed me right off. He says, oh, don't worry. Your wife's going to get looked after, and ran away.
Huh.
And just ran away. And that's what they all did, Barry. Just like they did when a spokesperson for Canadians for Language Fairness, when I had all kinds of whistleblowers, English-speaking Canadians who couldn't advance in their job because their French-speaking language skills weren't good enough.
Right.
Every official ran away when I started saying that, well, Pierre Trudeau promised that people wouldn't lose their jobs. Well, yeah. Okay, that was a slight trick of words. You couldn't lose your job. Okay, you didn't lose your job. You were just transferred and you couldn't advance. It's kind of tricky, right? It's a kind of tricky way of saying you'll never lose your job. You'll just never have a chance to advance. The same kind of thing, right? So it's deception. It's smoke and mirrors like they did with the tainted blood scandal. And now as I look at this plandemic, scandemic, whatever you want to call it, the Hong Kong flu, the sweet and sour sniffles, whatever the heck this is, you know, It's just the same thing. It's government malfeasance. It's like Chris was saying, who's this Teresa Tam person? Can't even find some history on her, where the heck she comes from.
You know,
people dressed in as women with Adam's apples. I just don't get it. And it's time that we changed all of that. And this one thing I'm going to say right here on this program right now, I'm going to be the first to say it, and people are going to call me all kinds of things, but it's time we stopped allowing sodomites to rule over us, period.
If people knew they were sodomites, Jürgen, they would put a stop to this. But most people haven't got a clue what is going on in our world. Only what they see on TV. Until we can break that paradigm and get people real information about what's going on, we have an uphill battle on our hands, my friend.
Well, and that's why I was talking about the obelisks earlier, because these phallic symbols are right in plain sight. And when you ask people what they are or what they represent, they have no clue. They don't know. They don't even say. 90% won't say it's a phallic symbol.
Yeah, what's the one eye on the $1 bill about, huh? Well, what's that all about? Exactly. Well, what is it? The Statue of Liberty? That's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. Come on, folks. Look into the history of that. I mean, everything they do is symbolism in front of our faces, but most people don't recognize it, Jürgen.
That's right. You look at Stanley Kubrick's movie, Eyes Wide Shut, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's exactly. Eyes are wide shut.
Well, unfortunately,
they dismissed that weird scene in that movie as fictional when we all know it's real. We know there's hunting parties. We know they have places where they hunt people. That's real. All that stuff is real. It's documented. Right? Well, there's white papers on all the stuff that they're doing. Agenda 21. We talked about Agenda 21 20 years ago when they wrote it up in the 90s and people were saying we're conspiracy theorists. And here we are. Hello. Here's the pandemic. You know, all the other stuff didn't work out. So let's get the pandemic going. And with all the evidence that there really isn't any, people still fall in. They still comply. And Canada is the petri dish for the UN. I've been saying it my whole life. We are the petri dish for everything United Nations and everything they want to pull off in the world. Us and Australia, New Zealand. We're just those colonized countries that they can play with. And because Canada has everything, they want us. Big time. Boy, everything we have.
Boy, do they ever, man. It's the biggest resource base in the country, in the world right now, and they're coming after it hard.
Mm-hmm. And they're not going to give up because they're Satanists, and they will continue.
Well, Jürgen, we're at a pinnacle point right now. We really are. I mean, if we can't get the Canadian people to stand in unison against this, then we're really looking at a very dark future coming forward. So I'll do everything I can. I know you're doing everything you can to wake people up. But some days, you know, I've worn a hole through the rubber in my wall in my bedroom. It's just so frustrating to talk to Canadians that just don't want to see what's going on around them. The trees are right in front of your face that you can't see the forest. You're right. Canadians need to get some spine, some backbone. I think if the general Canadian man right now with a family in this country right now really understood the dangers our country's in, we see a rise. But unfortunately, a lot of them are still controlled by the mainstream narrative. We got to break that paradigm, my friend. And we are. I think we're making progress. What I saw in Toronto yesterday was one of the most encouraging things I've seen for a while. The demonstrations in Montreal there 2 or 3 weeks ago, where we had over 100,000 people on the street, is starting to indicate to me that Canadians are waking up.
Yeah, for sure. They have to. I mean, we have no choice, really, right? We really have no choice.
Well, it's do or die right now, Jürgen. You know that. I know that.
It is.
Just try to get that through to the Canadian person. I mean, I would sit down with guys at the coffee shops that think everything's fine. They're more interested in talking about who's going to win the Stanley Cup than what's going on in their country. And unfortunately, that's a sad state in our country right now. But like I said, I'm starting to see a shift. And all we can do right now is just keep doing what we're doing and hope for the best. At least, you know, Jürgen, at least if we end up losing this thing, which we're not going to, but if we ever do end up losing this, at least we can say to ourselves, people that are involved, that we did everything we could to stop it. I'll be able to look in the mirror and say that. And I'm not going to have my children urinate on my grave, because they are going to urinate on your grave someday, folks. I hate to put it like that, but that's what they're going to do, because there is no excuse right now in our world to not see what's going on. And the fact that you don't have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to it, that you just keep going along with these draconian government directives, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. You know, all these people that are pushing this on us, you know, the police and all these judges and lawyers, you know, they think they've got a ticket to the big party, Jürgen, but they don't. They're just pawns like you and me, but the only difference between you and me and them is they're maybe two steps up the rung on the ladder. But when the time comes, they're going to be disposed of just as quickly as you and me. And I wish we could get that through them. We should also, you know, I meant to do this today to welcome whoever else happens to be listening in on the show, the CSIS or anybody that happens to be listening in that might not have good intentions for the future of our country. I hope they learn a few things by listening to this show today, because they are listening to us. Everything we're saying is being monitored and analyzed, and soon they're going to come after us, Jürgen. You know that. It's only a matter of time now. Bill C-10, they're going to ram that through Parliament.
Well, they're doing everything now. As you can see, the Internet of Things, all infrastructure and goods are off. They're using mechanisms now, which ends our transactional privacy, basically. Everything's going to be tied to smart devices and implants. We have real-time processing of the entire world, including all the people in it and their behavior and beliefs, right? Smartphones, wearables, we've got all this stuff. It's all input for big data to control us. It allows us to impact for humanity to guide us into specific places. So they use their genetic engineering through these mRNAs, nanomaterials, and all these other things, which is going to connect people to the Internet of Bodies, which people haven't started talking about. We talk about the Internet of Things, but the Internet of Bodies is something that we need to start talking about as well, because the things that they're going to be putting in our bodies is going to connect us to that as well, because they're going to give us that digital currency, right? It's going to be all based on track control purchases, earnings and savings. It's going to replace the system we have now. The circular economy, private ownership will be abolished in favor of lease models. I heard where they're going to take now, you're not going to have a mortgage. Everyone's going to have a 15-year reverse mortgage. You're going to be happy for 15 years. It's your house. At the end of 15 years, it's not your house anymore. It belongs to them. You just get to live in it and you get to pay rent.
So basically, they're going to charge you a death tax now too. Isn't that great?
Yeah, exactly.
I get to take one out.
Yeah, it's the end of our price system as we know it, and value is going to be set by central planners. We're going to have that universal basic income, which they're driving us to here in Canada, random taxation to control all the credits out there, and limit our access to food and energy goods and travel and all our parks and ways of reproduction. No joy, no creativity, and misery is ahead if we continue down this path.
Compartmentalize them into big cities, take away all outdoor activities, take away all rural situations. What's they're doing? They're doing slowly but surely. They're compartmentalizing Canadians into big cities. And of course, that makes them very, very controllable, doesn't it?
And at the same time, they basically are giving you sensory connections to the computer. They're getting everyone to stare into a computer screen almost 24 hours a day, whether it's their phone or their computer, right?
Yep.
And in that way, they can control behavior. They control what they see. All of it. It's disgusting how it's this control mechanism in this matrix where most people are blind to what is going on around them. It's just mind-boggling.
Of course, they're going to take cash away from our society very quickly. I believe
absolutely.
I believe that's going to come down very quickly, and it's coming.
They have to.
That will give them complete control over everything we're doing. Everything you do will be on a computer screen and you'll be monitored. The credit system scores that China now has in place. Yep. Trudeau is modeling us after those. I mean, in China, I don't know if people know this, Jürgen, but when you step out your door as a citizen in China, you're basically watched from the time you leave your house. I was watching a show on this, Jürgen. I couldn't believe the levels of surveillance that are now in existence in China. A lot of people don't realize just how far they've gone. But you're literally watched from the time you leave your house till the time you go home. At the end of the day, somebody is watching you in China. And how many people do they have in China? That's a lot of people watching a lot of people, isn't it, Jürgen?
Somebody's watching me.
Facial recognition score. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they're doing with the Chinese people. But they really don't have any control at all. The government's completely in control in that country. And that's where Mr. Trudeau is dreaming about taking Canada here in the very near future. What a scumbag that man is, Jürgen. I don't have the words to describe my love for that guy. But, oh, yeah. But you know what? Every day, you got to love this government because they're telling us that every day, every radio station I tune into, every TV, any mainstream, they're telling us that these vaccines are totally safe and effective. So I think we should just trust them, don't you, Jürgen?
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely, mind-boggling. When it came out, 20-some countries said they're not going to accept AstraZeneca because of the side effects. And then in the same day or same week, Trudeau says, hey, we got all kinds of AstraZeneca. It's perfectly safe for everybody.
I know.
Mind-boggling. Are you kidding me?
Well, look at the nations that are standing against it. Now, people are really waking up in Europe, but I think it's coming here. Going forward, we're going to see a lot more people come forward and claim. Tell us about the adverse reactions that they're actually experiencing from these vaccines. I know the mainstream media and the government's doing everything they can to quash that information, but I believe that's going to come real strong here in the next little while. But of course, they're going to blame that on the virus itself. We've got a new mutation, or we've got a new variant. We got to lock you down some more. Don't worry about it. By 2035, we should be able actually totally unleash society again. You guys can go back to normal. I wish they'd come out and tell people that's their plan, because then you'd see people really rise up. But what we're seeing right now, these perceived health emergencies, they're never going to go away. They're just going to keep mandating every month. Every month, you'll guarantee that next month, your provincial government will say, yeah, it's another 30-day extension. And the month after that, it'll be another 30-day extension. Trudeau came out when this thing first came on the air. They called it a global pandemic, which was crap to begin with. And Trudeau came out and said, at least 50,000 Canadians are going to die if we don't take drastic measures immediately. Up to 350,000. I remember his words exactly. How many people have actually died from this in Canada, Jürgen? And what are the age differences in people that are actually dying, people that aren't being affected? It is the 70 and 80-year-old people that are being affected by this, but that's the same as any virus that's ever come into our society. It's always the elders, always the weakest members in our society that are affected. We should never have done anything that we've done in this society over this so-called virus. The elders should have been protected. The rest of us should just be left alone to go about our lives. But what have we got now in Canada? They're telling us by July of this year, and Chris was talking about it in the last hour, we're going to have up to 450, maybe 500,000 small businesses closed in Canada.
Lost. Yeah.
Unbelievable effect. And you know what? That trickle-down effect is really going to start. Canadians are going to start to feel it. And maybe that's what it's going to take. I shouldn't say this, but maybe we need somebody close. I know I can't say that. I can't say that because that's not the right thing to say. I was going to say, you know, maybe somebody close to you needs to die for you to wake up. And that's not the right thing to say, because I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But it seems like Canadians are really, really in a matrix here. We've got to shake them awake, Jürgen. We really do. We've got to get them to realize that this isn't a joke, that we are in the most dangerous time in our history of this country, the short history of Canada. We are in the most dangerous time, that we could actually lose our freedoms. And when they're gone, it's going to be extremely difficult to get them back. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, absolutely. And we've been saying this for quite a while. We know it's been building up to something, and it builds up to this. Now, if you know, right from the very start, I said if it truly was a global pandemic, if I was the ruler of the world, I would have shut down all international flights except for emergency medical units. Every flight on the planet would have been shut down. That would have been the order coming from the top, right? In a pandemic. Now, I'm no expert. But if there's something out there that is killing everybody, then I say, okay, everybody stay at home right now and shut down all flights. But no, what happened? Donald Trump said, I'm going to stop all flights from China. And he was called the worst name in the book. He was a racist. He was all kinds of things because he was going to stop flights at the end of January last year. And then the dialogue all turned around. Nancy Pelosi all saying, come on down to Chinatown at the end of February. Everything is groovy. Right. The whole thing is such a joke. It's beyond belief how people cannot see it. But here's the thing, and you talked about it too. We are in a situation right now The shadow government or the deep state has been revealed. If you can't see it, then you're blind. The New World Order has been revealed to everybody, and they're vulnerable right now. And if you can't see it, if you don't know that they exist, if you deny their existence, then you're an idiot.
Yep.
The elite occult trafficking is being exposed. Children, human trafficking, all of it. It's all being exposed, right? The fact that you can't go to one of the largest continents on the planet, Antarctica, is being exposed. How come we can't go to Antarctica? How come there's no exploration on Antarctica? What's being hidden on Antarctica? How come that continent, all the countries of the planet, have signed a deal not to go there? What is there? What are they hiding from us in Antarctica? But here's the thing. These illusions are being shattered. Look at the Hollywood illusion. It's being shattered, Barry. The banking cartel is being spotlighted. The media empire is crumbling. Most people can see it. The numbers are dropping like crazy. Don Lemon just lost his show, right? Even though he's starting another one. But still, the mass awakening is beginning, like we've said, and we just hope and pray that we're watching the death of the control matrix in real time right now.
He just shattered me, Jürgen. Don Lemon's not on the air anymore. What am I going to do, buddy?
No, he's still on the air, but he gave up one show. But yeah, I know.
Well, you had me scared there, so I can find him still. I can still find him somewhere, right?
I know it's your favorite show, so sorry. Well, I didn't mean to chat at you like that, buddy.
It's so truthful. Nothing but the truth and the whole truth, and so help me God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What a joke. It isn't a joke, though. We're here at this particular time, Jürgen, and whether we like it or not, I think we were chosen to be here because it is definitely one of the most incredible times in human history, what we see going on right now. Oh, yeah. And I've got to stay positive and believe that we're going to win this in the end, but I believe that a lot of people are going to suffer before we get there. So, unfortunately, just the way it is. We are in a real, real bind right now in Canada. It is people that are doing this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We hear crickets in society. Parents are allowing their children to go to school with masks on. I mean, all you have to do, Jürgen, really, if you go on the internet and punch in a search engine, just punch in the effects of a child wearing a mask and look at all the links that'll come up.
Yeah.
The information that's available there, you can literally, in 1 hour, folks, find information that will make you, absolutely make you, take that mask off your child if you look at it with an objective and open mind. But people refuse to do that. What they're doing to our children is beyond criminal. It's absolutely something that just tears me apart, Jürgen. It really tears me apart that this is going on.
People need to get back to faith, Barry. We need to reject the Satanists that are ruling us right now, people who believe in Satan, blood sacrifices, witchcraft, and the darkness. They know that Jesus is real.
Well, that's why we have the biggest – why are Christians the most persecuted people on the planet right now, Jürgen?
Exactly right. And yet we have to look at every community. Every community on the planet has a little Freemason outfit. We have to start looking at them, and we have to start denying them. And not the grassroots Freemason people that are below the 33rd degree, but those that are still in the secret societies. I would submit that most Freemasons don't know what's really going on above the 32nd level. But at the 33rd right. level, they're the ones that are doing all these things, and they're in every community. And here's the thing that I would getting back to that, I would say, why is there no churches informing their congregation of the existence of the Freemason devil worship in their own community?
Where are the churches right now, Jürgen? Good question. Where are the pastors that should be standing up and screaming at the top of their lungs?
Well, like Arthur.
Yeah, like Arthur, there is a few. But, of course, they are put in jail and absolutely attacked. I mean, Arthur's garage was set on fire last night.
Yep. Isn't that a clue to people? Shouldn't that be a clue?
I mean, we're in a situation now where groups are attacking a pastor, and they burned his garage last night. What's next? Are they going to firebomb his house next?
Yeah,
nothing is off the table with these people, man.
Where's the media? Where's the media on the? They're not on his side, are they?
No, that should be a story right across the country. Yep. If that happened, wait a second, hold on, Jürgen. Now, if a Muslim imam's house was firebombed last night, it would be on every station across the country for the next 3 days. That's all they would talk about.
That's right.
But So come on,
folks. It would be over the top.
It would be over the top. I mean, you have mosques that are allowing to be open right now in Canada in direct defiance to government orders, and nothing's done about it. And yet a Christian church, let's put up a fence, send out 200 RCMP officers.
Oh, and here's what you got to do then, Barry. A smart mind, somebody with a brain, looks at that and says, okay, what is this, right? A smart person looks at it and says, wait a minute, we've got the Christian pastors getting jailed, they're getting arrested on a highway, they're getting dragged down the freaking highway to be thrown in a police car, then thrown in jail, while mosques are allowed to stay open. You should then be able to say, wait a minute, something really stinks here, and yet the Canadian population still sits there thinking everything is okay.
Absolutely. That we should be enraged about what's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you hear what's crickets from the here? General. Well, because it's not being covered the way it should be on mainstream. Mainstream should be putting that out in volumes, what is going on in our country and the hypocrisy. But, of course, they're the chosen ones, man. Can't talk against them. And, of course, the government's media, the media is completely controlled by the government, so we won't hear that narrative coming out of the media. That is a travesty. That really is a travesty. It's criminal. And I hope one day these guys are held accountable. You're going to really do. Yeah. I want you to be president of the CBC, buddy. Come on, get in there. I tell you, if I ever won a lottery, man, you'd be getting a couple $1 million donation to your campaign. Because we really need to get in there and change the narrative, man. And I want to work. I want a job, too, by the way.
And you got a job, 100%. 100%.
Don't want to change the subject quickly, but I got to talk about this for 1 minute before we go here, because we're almost out of the hour. But the rise in prices in lumber in Canada has a golden lining to it. And that is, Jürgen, you know, I'm a big promoter of what can be done with industrial hemp as a growing product or as a building product. And a company in Canada right now, Just Biofiber, their sales are just exploding. Because we can now build, and I don't want to change, I won't talk about this for a minute, but it's pretty cool. When we can build now cheaper with hemp than we can with wood in Canada, and the value and the properties of hemp will absolutely blow wood right out of the box. So their company is absolutely seeing a major rise in business. So there is a golden lining to this, because if we could get society to start.
Where is this company?
It's in Calgary. They're called Just Biofiber. Folks, go look at them. Go look at the introduction video. Reach out to the company. The president of the company's name is Terry Radford. I had him on my show here about a year ago. Nice. I just reached out to him, and I've got him booked for 2 weeks from now. He's going to come back and tell us about what's going on. The attention that the company is now getting because of the products they're putting out and the price. The price is cheaper now to build with their products than it is with wood.
Do they have a hemp farm? Do they grow their own? And
no, they buy. He buys large scale amounts of industrial hemp of hemp. And what's going to happen here? You're going to see a new business rise. It's going to take off here in the next couple of years, because builders are starting to look at this. I don't have time to talk about the properties, but all you have to do, folks, is that company, Just Biofiber. They have an introduction video on their website, and there's one after that. There's two introduction videos that you can go watch. And when you listen to this and roll it around in your brain, you would be part of the solution, because you'll start embracing it the way that I am, the way a lot of people are becoming passionate about it, because it is an answer to a lot of our problems. It's unbelievable, the ramifications of bringing hemp back into our society. But it's something I've talked about many, many times on my show, Jürgen. It's something we can do to really take the power back and give it to the people. And that might sound crazy, but it has the ability to do that, folks. We're down to the last couple minutes here for the show, Rob, or Jürgen, and I want you to share with people your last thoughts and where they can find you. And hopefully I'll get you back here in the very near future. We continue this conversation, my friend.
Well, I think that's an excellent point, what you just made with the hemp. We've been talking about that for a long time. It's one of those things that government has lied, and people in power have lied, and the Freemasons and all the Satanists have lied about this product. They took it away from the people years ago. They took away the medicinal effects of cannabis, of CBD, of all of that. They've hidden the effects of psilocybin in mushrooms from the people, and the medicinal benefits. And you never hear many stories stories about the head of pharmaceutical companies being taken out and murdered, but you've heard all kinds of holistic healers that have been murdered over the last 20 years that have natural holistic ways of healing us over the pharmaceuticals that we're being poisoned with. So the last thing that possibly I'd like to say to your audience is that to not despair. Always remember that good will win over evil. Always remember that the comeback is always greater than the setback, and we will come back stronger than we have ever come back before. And that you can take to the bank, because we are witness to this new awakening. We are seeing a rise in consciousness as we are getting more and more people on the planet speaking out about the nefarious nature of the lies and the deception that have surrounded mankind, not just during this pandemic, but for ages going beyond 1,000 years. And that's a fact, and we have come to a head, and it is so glorious to be living in this time. But if you go ahead with darkness and fear, you're not going to live your life. So stand up, put your head up high, your shoulders back, and march forth without a mask on and say, I am a human, I'm a man, and I have a right to life. And hold your head high. Carry on, Barry. You're doing a great job. Thanks for having me, my friend.
Thank you, Jürgen. Always a pleasure to have you in. What does Klaus think about all this?
Well, Klaus Schnapp wants to take everything you have, and he will be very, very happy.
Well, listen, Klaus, thanks for joining us on the show today. I'm glad you tuned in. Maybe you got a little bit of an education today. And, you know, it's never too late to change your ways, Klaus. So hopefully we impacted you a little bit today. All joking aside, Jürgen, thanks for coming in, buddy. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Talk to you soon, Barry. Cheers.
Okay. Well, folks, that's a wrap for this week. I've enjoyed the show today immensely. I really like what Roger brought to the table. Chris Guy, boy, well, there's a firecracker that we need. And Jürgen, man, this man brings incredible information to the table. Always a pleasure. My audience loves you, Jürgen. You've made the show today. So thanks again. And I'm going to be back next week, folks. I've got some real good people coming in again. I've got a couple doctors going to join me again next week. Please tune in then, and I'll be back. You guys all have a great week. God bless you, and bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.